other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Back up, Marty.
Now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. It is already the fourth day of September 2008. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Paul Watson is going to be popping in for only about 20 minutes towards the end of the show to break down record cold temperatures, since they've been recording temperatures in the last 300-plus years. Also, that corresponds with the 200-plus years of scientific records of sunspots. The sun has never been completely clear in over 200 years of sunspot activity being recorded. It's one of the longest continually measured phenomenons in the natural world. That and terra temperature here on terra firma. Record cold temperatures on the way. And the global taxers have already shifted overnight, saying global cooling. We need a world tax to stop the global cooling that is supposedly man-made. The UN's own fraudulent climate report, where they forged the names of hundreds of scientists, that's now been admitted that they forged them, lied and said they endorsed the idea of man-made global warming, and that it was caused by CO2, one of the four major ingredients to life. By that, I don't mean classical element, I mean true element. Classical element in life, not one of the periodic tables, but we have sunshine, we have oxygen, we have carbon dioxide, we have water, and those are the main ingredients or the elements you need for life. But they are now, well, first they said in the 50s and 60s we need a global tax to stop the ice age, which was in a way more accurate, not that man was causing it, but that an ice age was set to appear, according to ice core samples. Then they decided, well, we're having a little warming period here, a little mini hot spot because of sun activity, and they knew that all along. They're not stupid. They're scientists. The globalists are. Scientists of tyranny. And so they came up with that it was man-made global warming, and the UN's own report, as I mentioned, says that man's only 6% of it, if you believe their fraudulent numbers. Volcanoes and the sun and solar radiation of all types, but also just space radiation, different types of particles coming into the atmosphere, forming clouds. But don't confuse the public with the facts. They love a good hoax, kind of like Russia invaded Georgia. Russia snuck attacked Georgia. Isn't the truth, but let's go ahead and say it. Or that Sarah Palin is a good conservative. Not true, but we can just say it. Or that Barack Obama is a good guy who's going to fight the establishment. Isn't true, but might as well just believe it. I mean, nation of suckers, born and bred to be suckers. But he'll pop in later on that issue. I've got a lot of news here. And so we're not going to have any other guests today, but Paul popping in briefly. I want to take a lot of your phone calls, any issue you want to discuss. A lot has happened. The response to the little hurricane locking down areas of Louisiana, saying martial law 24 hours a day, leave your house, you go directly to the state pen, no judge, no jury, the government arbitrarily decides. We're seeing similar things pop up in Arkansas and Ohio. This idea of martial law is just being brought into the mainstay of American thinking. It's being introduced onto Main Street. We can talk about the economy, what's happening there. We can talk about the Georgia situation, the Iran situation. We can talk about the stupid VP candidates. I mean, who cares? They're puppets, but if you want to discuss it, fine. We can discuss police brutality versus the anarchists. There is a whole host of issues. Any angle, any issue you want to bring up today, you have a question for me, or you want to challenge me on some fact, I would love to hear from you at 1-800-259-9231. This is the one, the only GCN Radio Network.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, I have a newscast where they're telling you you're not allowed to gather your own rainwater. That ties into the global standardization of zoning and of state and federal laws, international laws under conventions and treaties and general agreements. I've got a story I never really got to yesterday. Israel Mossad let Nazi Mengele get away, Associated Press. I got a story I want to hear from the callers on. I want to hear from you on this. Sudden death after arrest may be new syndrome. This is out of Reuters. And this is the story originates out of Madrid, Spain. The reason we're hearing about this in Europe now is they're adopting a fraud that was invented here in the U.S. about 3 years ago. There have been over 500 taser deaths in the U.S. alone. There are scores in Canada, all over Europe. Total, it's around 1,000. The numbers vary. Just in the last 5-6 years, as tasers have become prolific. And when you get tasered over and over again and just so happen to die, they now say it is a syndrome. They say, well, this never happened before, but it's not the electroshock, even though the coroners say, no, they died of a heart attack from being tasered 5 times, 20 times, you know, sometimes more. Sometimes they taser people 30, 40 times. You'll get cops there with 3 or 4 taser lines into somebody, just tasering over and over again, and they'll die of a heart attack. You get a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 35-year-old, and they're dead. And the cops always say, oh, they were on drugs. And the coroner report comes back, no, there were no drugs. And, you know, the story was it was cocaine. You know, they were on drugs. And then you'd find out, no, they weren't on drugs. So the government doctors went, you know what? It's a syndrome. It's not that when we taser you or when we beat you or when we jump on your head with our knees that your neck breaks. No. You died of overexcitement. It was a syndrome. It says, a sudden death after arrest may be new syndrome. Young men who die suddenly after being arrested by the police may be victims of a new syndrome, similar to one that kills some wild animals. And that's prey animals. Doves, quail, chickens, hares, i.e. rabbits, deer. Prey species have it almost designed into them to, once they get grabbed, once they're dying, they go into shock and die quite easily. I remember being a little boy on the farm when one of my uncles or my great uncle who lived nearby would be over at their house, and it wasn't some brutal thing. It was dinner time. And they would grab a chicken and take it over and hack its head off with a meat cleaver, or they would grab a rabbit out of the... No, it's dinner time. You know, it's 4 o'clock. I'm going to go cook this. Grab, you know, I'm hillbillies, folks. I guess it's okay to go eat it at the store. You just better not kill it yourself. Grab the rabbit out by its legs. Hold it up by its hind legs. Take a broken oar, is what Pat Lynn, one of my great uncles, would use. And just, bam, hit it one time in the back of the head. And then he'd skin it and take it in and cook it. And gourmet, believe me. But, that's how domesticated we've gotten. People are like recoiling in horror. That's what human beings have done for thousands of years, tens of thousands. That's what we do. You know, those chickens you're eating, pork you're eating, it had lives of inhumane torture on average. Now, cows still have pretty good lives until they're slaughtered. That's why it's a very humane food to eat. Not the case with pigs and chickens. Now, but I'm already digressing. How did I get off into that? Oh, a lot of times you grab a rabbit by the hind legs, and a week before it saw one of its brethren be killed with a pole axe, basically, it will just have a heart attack right in your hands. I've seen that happen. Or let's say I've been hunting dove before, and you just wing one, it just breaks its wing. You go pick it up, dies right in your hands. By the way, you just tear its breast right out, drop it right into a baggie in your backpack that's got the seasoning, whatever you're seasoning, whether it's some type of Asian sweet sauce or maybe just Lee and Perrin's Worcestershire. Just drop the breast right into that. It marinates while you're out there in the 95 degree fields, and you come back 4 hours later and you go in and put them right on the skillet. And it's not that I even enjoy killing the dove. It's a primitive instinct to go out and hunt. It's the hunting itself that is fulfilling. And then to actually butcher it yourself takes about 3 seconds. Tear the breast meat out, throw it in your bag, and then you go cook it yourself. And it isn't full of hormones. It isn't filled with antibiotics. It didn't lead a tortured life in some big pen with mites all over it. I'm sorry, I'm digressing. I said I was going to take your calls. The point is, I know what sudden death is, and it's in prey animals. It is not in what you'd call predators or aggressive mammals. If the going gets tough for a killer whale, it doesn't just give up and die. If the going gets tough for an African great ape, a silverback, it doesn't just die of a heart attack unless it's around the age for heart attacks, older. If you get a tiger, doesn't just die of a heart attack, fights to the death. An elephant doesn't die of a heart attack, fights to the death. Higher intelligence is associated with not giving up and dying. Prey animals have it designed into them, for whatever reason, to give up and die. They are falsely claiming that now, that when the police grab you and take you behind closed doors and, of course, beat your brains out, that or taser you to death, or jump on your head with their, you know, this famous video, just about 9 months ago, 8 months ago, up in Canada, and this Polish fella who didn't speak English, his mother was unable to get through to get him. He was immigrating here, immigrating to North America, to Canada. And he throws a fit after 30-plus hours of no food, no water. He's just back there in a holding area. It's very frustrating. I had it happen to me in Canada, but not for that long, just about 15 hours. And he kicks a trash can and starts screaming for help. They come up, taser him. The officers jump from about 3 feet in the air with their knees on the back of his head. Bye-bye. He's dead. Broke his neck. They said it was a syndrome. And I guess if you ever get in a fist fight with somebody and you hit them and it happens to break a blood vessel in their brain and they die, when the cops show up, just say, you know what? It's a syndrome. Of course, they're going to laugh at you. But this is really going to wreak havoc that they're now saying, no. People just die in police custody from fear. Well, yeah, if it's a 60-year-old guy with heart problems or a 75-year-old person with heart problems, that certainly does happen. Happens a lot. It doesn't happen to 25-year-old males. They said that woman that died in that airport a few months ago, they said she died of fear, a syndrome. 40-something-year-old woman. Of course, the coroner's report said she died of blunt force trauma to the head, but hey, that's a syndrome too. But this now Europe's picking up on the lies and propaganda. Young men who die suddenly after being arrested by the police may be victims of a new syndrome, similar to one that kills some wild animals when they are captured, Spanish researchers said on Tuesday. Man, I started thinking about dove hunting. My neighbor was going dove hunting the other day and almost begged to go along. I never get to hunt, fish, nothing anymore. But Manuel Martinez Celis of Madrid's hospital, Giorgio Marinian, reached the conclusion after investigating 60 cases of sudden unexplained deaths in Spain following police detention. Oh, yes. Yes, Jack. In one-third of cases, death occurred at the point of arrest, while in the remainder, death was within 24 hours, Celis told the annual meeting of the European Society of Cardiology. All but one of the casualties were male, and their average age was just 33 years, with no previous history of cardiovascular disease. Something unusual is going on, Celis said. Just why they died remains a mystery, but he believes young men in particular may experience surges of blood levels and chemicals when under severe stress. Adrenaline is one of the most abundant of these chemicals. We know that when a wild animal is captured, sometimes the animal dies suddenly, he said. Probably when these young males are captured, it's very stressful. And their level of these chemicals goes very high, and that can finish their life by ventricle fibrillation or cardiac arrest. Yeah, it's not that they're being tasered or beaten to death. Celis compiled a study, the first of its kind in any country. That's not true. I guess they don't do studies here. They just make it up. By scouring Spanish newspapers for cases of unexplained death under police detention over the past 10 years, only sudden deaths with no clear causes were included in the autopsy reports, were checked to exclude the possibility of mistreatment or past serious medical conditions. 12 of the victims were drug users, but Celis said that was not thought to be contributed to their deaths. Jonathan Harlpin of the Missouri St. Louis Medical Center in New York was not involved in research. Said the concept of the heart stress syndrome triggered by a flood of adrenaline or other chemicals was a reasonable hypothesis. We all know stress is bad for you, and this may be stress in the extreme, he said. Yeah, 25, 30-year-old males fall into meat grinders and don't have heart attacks, can have their legs chopped off. You can have your fingers cut off, and you don't... No. It's being tasered and beaten in attack. So now this is really getting serious here, where they just make up more and more syndromes and more baloney for them murdering us. As it becomes more and more obvious that they're killing us, they will just concoct more and more of this quackdom, this kookdom. Global cooling, unprecedented ice storms hit Kenya, China, many other areas of the world, Africa, China, you name it. Michigan man accused of planning anti-GOP attack. World's first cloned dog fathers puppies, researchers say. Cloned beef is on store shelves. Don't you dare go hunting. American forces attack militants on Pakistani soil. That's big news. We'll also talk about this Palin hype. It's your calls when we come back straight ahead in the next segment. PrisonPlanet.com. Check it out today. Okay, Alex Jones back here live, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get into cloning later. What a serious danger that is for the basic genetic code, not just of these animal lines, but other species.
Your own.
American forces attack militants on Pakistani soils, a headline. So widening wars over there. Over there in Central Asia.
Prayers, someone who cares.
And I've got comments on Palin as well.
Your own.
But right now, let's go to the calls. John in Illinois disagrees, so he goes to the head of the line. Welcome to the airwaves, John.
Good to be here, Alex. 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were commenting on the possible punishment for those who ran the 9/11 op. And if I'm not mistaken, you said you did not favor the death penalty for these people, but I take strong exception to that. I think that is necessary. Although I am usually opposed to the death penalty because usually these guys are railroaded, it is necessary for us to execute those men who have been found guilty at the very top. That means Cheney, Rumsfeld, Meyer. They have to be publicly executed as a lesson to all others not to do the same thing.
Well, listen, I appreciate your call, but I want to be clear about all this. Are you still there, John?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I appreciate the call as the cue to hang up on people when I'm done with them, but I didn't mean that as the cue that time, so I was making sure they hadn't let you go because I want you to be able to counter back with what I say. I believe I was talking about if we have a revolution in this country, I would like it to be peaceful and not be violent, because the vast majority of the time, I would say 99% of the time, a violent revolution ends up with something as bad or worse. And then what you have is you have the lazy population or that sector that takes over from the elite and then loots the middle class, and they set up their own tyranny, and the whole economy basically collapses because sometimes the new tyranny you get is worse than the old tyranny you had. My whole point is it's very dangerous to start executing people in a revolution. You end up with a French Revolution when it rages for years, 8-9 years, and hundreds of thousands get their heads chopped off, and it turns out, like the Khmer Rouge, with Pol Pot over 20 years, emptying out the cities, killing more than 2 million people. Anybody who was a doctor or a lawyer or who had glasses was considered to be wealthy. And so I think that rather than open up that genie out of the box. I mean, once you say, let's execute political leaders, then it's kind of like when kings would dominate other kings, they would never kill the king, they would exile them. Or when they finally captured Napoleon, well, twice, they would exile him to Alba and then another island, because they didn't want to set the precedent of elitists being killed. Well, it's the same thing here. I don't want to set the precedent of bloody lynch mobs and cities burning. I don't want cruel and unusual punishment. Now, federal and state law states what high treason is punishable by. And I believe we had a caller or a guest. I can't remember. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago this being discussed, about a month ago. People were talking about just rounding them all up, putting them all in camps, you know, executing the elitist. And, you know, I was saying that whereas I would like to see them swinging from a rope, and I've gotten angry before and said, you know, after people have been convicted of a crime and after they've been, you know, convicted of carrying out terror attacks, I'd like to see them punished. When I'm being more intellectual and more cold in my analysis, it's just more dangerous. Also, if elites know they're going to be executed, they'll go ahead and just nuke our cities instead of being captured. But if other elites who are below them know that they'll just get jail time, they won't go all the way to the wall. I mean, do you understand the British Ministry of Defense 10-year prospectus on what they believe will happen said that the moneyed interest in Europe, the U.S. and England, and Australia, Canada, will wage war against their domestic populations. They admit the riot police, the whole structure of our governments, is to wage war against the people. And they said that if the population ever starts really looking like they're going to take over the government, that the neutron bomb arsenals, which again, don't destroy real estate, just kill all life, don't damage buildings or telecommunications. They just kill every bug, every plant, every human, every dog, every cat, every monkey, every canary, every squirrel, every chipmunk, dolphins at SeaWorld, everything that in the area that's hit. And they said the neutron bomb arsenal is for us. So that's what Cheyenne Mountain's for, to direct through Northcom. The dropping, I mean, let's say that we marched on Washington, we took it over. They would just drop a neutron bomb on it. Okay, the military-industrial complex rules us, and we're going to lay down and take the eugenics. Break there. Let me finish up what I was going to say. They want us to just lay there and take their eugenics program. So it's all done scientifically. It's all publicly stated. It's not advertised, but it's all in textbooks. It's all in government documents. It's all stated. They want to build, and they are building, a world government with a world currency, world tax, a regulatory system over your carbon footprint. They know it isn't your carbon dioxide you exhale that's causing the earth to warm. They know the earth is set to cool. But it's something they can sell the public on an outside crisis to get a monitoring system in through your world ID card that will say national ID, which is already standardized by treaty in 2000, that then tracks every purchase, every sale, everything you eat, everything you do, so they can gauge what your carbon footprint is. And it's designed, according to Richard Inhofe, head of the CFR, in one of the papers he wrote for the Club of Rome, to make humans the enemy, and the state will organize against the enemy, which is humanity. And so the state makes us the enemy. It codifies that, and they train us to think of human life as bad from birth. They train us to think of the family as bad. They train us to literally take our own self-preservation instinct, the propulsion system of humanity, to protect ourselves, our children, our tribe, to build a better system. They take that. and they turn it in against itself. They convince you the earth is what you've got to save. Of course, they have no intention of, quote, saving the earth. In fact, they're the ones actually threatening it with their fission fusion systems, their heavy colliders, their nuclear weapons, their neutron bombs, their antimatter weapons they admit they have, their genetic engineering. But they sell you at a very fundamental base level of don't crap where you eat. I mean, people knew 5,000 years ago to go out in the woods to not do their business inside the camp. And so they say, we don't want to foul the stream. We don't want to foul the hunting ground. We don't want to scare the game away. It's basically that instinct. And that's actually how the priest class, going back about 8,000 years ago, got control of societies through superstition, through give me the power, give me the control, do what I say, or the harvest won't be good, or there won't be any caribou, there won't be any gazelles, there won't be any white-tailed deer. The management of the environment is one of the most base things for tribal societies. And so they come in with something that's very legitimate in our fundamental makeup, and they say to us, you have to give control over your life and over your decision-making process and over private property and over your reproductive rights. We're now being told, don't have more than one child. It's very uncouth. It's very bad. It's very evil. Don't you dare. One-child policies are needed in the U.S. and in Europe, as we told you they would propose. We're being sold on a new system to be regulated and controlled. And the criminal world corporate system, the global crime syndicate, we covered it in Endgame. 150 years ago, the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, which were the royal family of Germany, England, the Netherlands, Russia, Greece, same family, Austria, Italy, same family. If you want a history lesson on that, it's because the royal dynasties of Italy and Spain and England were original royal dynasties, and their lines would burn out because part of inbreeding is infertility and disease and stillbirth and retardation. And so after 300, 400, 500, 600 years of interbreeding, all of those original dynasties burned out, and there was one place that had been intermarrying with everybody else because it had, what, you can debate it, 14, 16 different counties with kings, with dukes over each one of them in Germania. And so they were the only ones by the 1750s who had a royal bloodline left that was married into all the other royal bloodlines. And so the German Saxe-Coburg-Gotha became the super genetic European royalty bloodline, and they took over. Just giving you basic mainline history, but I digress there. And so eugenics ideas had been developed in the 1750s, before it was called eugenics, by Sir Francis Galton in the 1840s, by Mr. Malthus. And those ideas were codified and then integrated with the theory of evolution. I'm not debating evolution one or the other. I'm just coldly pointing out how this plan developed. So you have eugenics coming out of Darwinism and Malthusianism, the Malthusians. And within 40 years, by the 1890s, it was the dominant science in the U.S., Russia, Mexico, Japan, globally. Anybody who had an intelligentsia, anybody who had a PhD, because the PhD was started simultaneously, right around that same period in Prussia, as an elite management force. Same thing the French did with their PhDs in the 1850s, 20 years after, or to be technical, 15 years after they took over Algeria. They went in and created a roundtable or CFR or intelligentsia. a small ruling class, a small imperial management viceroy system. And then it was that inner party in Algeria in the 1950s and 60s that then rebelled against French rule. So the elite's always watching their inner party more closely than even the general public. Again, I'm just skipping around giving you little snapshot microcosm examples of how all this works. I meant to bring a brief history of the world to Barnes & Noble's 3,000 Years of Revolution, but it's a good little book, a few hundred pages long, because each page has it nice synopses of what happened, and you'll see how it repeats itself and how their inner factions, secret groups, black op organizations, front groups. And see, when you read history, none of that's hidden because it doesn't matter anymore, you know, because those people aren't in power now. And so you can admit how things work 100 years ago, 200 years ago. You just don't admit how that works today. Because by God, you know, I've got a real choice between McCain and Obama. And by God, nobody runs my life. I'm in control. No, you're not. I said I'd take calls, but I'm off on a jag here, because you get this scientific elite, and by the 1890s, well, really Malthus codified it all in the 1750s, but it was now official policy, health department, social services, everything, social hygiene, racial hygiene. The three rails of eugenics, positive eugenics, breeding elites to be better looking, live longer, be smarter. Negative eugenics, sterilizing, killing newborn babies that are deformed. But then the real rail of eugenics, the true secret rail, the third rail of dumbing down the middle class and rogue intelligence, which the elite says are the only ones threatening their total, complete domination. And by the 20s, they discover that sodium fluoride brain damages you, reduces your life expectancy, literally causes arthritis, attacks every gland and organ. And the elites are really into being the best and the smartest, and they hate what they call, you know, native rogue intelligence out of the middle class. And so they lay down a screen to block that out and dumb them down. And then, of course, in 1933, Aldous Huxley writes Brave New World, where they take the embryos and x-ray them to make them stupid. And then he later said, no, that's actually what the elite does, just with chemicals in the water and the vaccines, in 1962 when he spoke at Berkeley, and in other speeches, and in revisiting Brave New World he wrote in the 50s. He's telling you, no, this is actually the plan. I married into a eugenics family. I married into Galton family and the Darwin family. Only four families bred together in that particular scientific experiment they did, starting in the 1840s. Most of the children died at birth. The others had to be locked away. You occasionally would get a Huxley, somebody like Aldous, who would be genius. It actually did produce super geniuses, but again, most of them were completely out of their mind schizophrenics. It's well known throughout history that hyperintelligence is also associated with the edge of madness, but I digress now. The point here is that you were having scientific war waged against you. And in all these textbooks and documents and books written by H.G. Wells, you know, nonfiction, and books put out by Oxford Press and all these publications, hundreds of them, they stated the scientific plan. And now they're very close to it. A computer tracking system, a technological enslavement grid, a control grid, tracking your every movement, predicting mass movements, predicting mob psychology, the final revolution, which is brainwash police forces, brainwash populations, played off against each other, centralized cities, an intensifying threat of terrorism, an intensifying threat of biological calamity. They engineer biological crises, then always pose as the savior. With the new crisis they usher in, there are other crises that develop on their own that they then pose as saviors on as well. They also turn everything into a glitz and glamour. You know, the fact that cancer has become epidemic and is increasing thousands of percentile points every decade, and the diabetes is and all of this. They then institutionalize that and fund their own organizations that cover all this up in the name of the drives to stop it all, in the name of the programs to get the cure. And then they turn it into a celebrity thing that, oh, your three-year-old has cancer. Oh, a bunch of the three-year-olds on the block have cancer. Oh, your 22-year-old wife has a brain tumor or lung cancer. Oh, your husband at 31 has testicular cancer. Don't worry, Bob down the street does. We're all going to beat this together, and here are these organizations that are going to help us, and you find out they're all Planned Parenthood former heads or vice chairman or involved in eugenics organizations or black op government. And everything is about exterminating us in an orderly fashion. You find out that millions of dosages of HIV go out in the factor rate. Millions are infected. No one gets in trouble. You find out that every major vaccine is triggering diabetes, attacking the pancreas. They don't care. It intensifies. They give the girls the HPV shot. They get cancer. They get autoimmune diseases. Doesn't matter. They've already got a new syndrome. So when your baby dies of a convulsion, they say you shook your baby, or they say it's sudden death. It's the mattress. Never killed a baby before. Now it does. Or they say you shook your baby and arrest you. It's a syndrome. And the cops don't know. The doctors don't know. They're just given the new syndrome by the experts. It's quackery. It's fraud. It's scams. And then they state in the British 10-year plan, Ministry of Defense, that Western governments have deployed neutron bombs and that neutron bombs will be used. I mean, they know you're getting mad when they take everything you've got, your pension funds, everything. They know the police are going to riot with us. They know the military. There's a very good chance. In fact, they say it's probably going to happen in England. The U.S. and Europe are going to march on capitals. And if the microwave guns don't work, if the mercenaries flee, if that doesn't work, if the helicopters in every major city with knockout gas, opiate gas, don't work, they'll use nerve gas and kill you. And if that doesn't work, they'll use a neutron bomb on you. And they've said, the neutron bombs are for us. They're developed in the 60s, publicly announced in the 70s, and then you never hear about them again. And that's because France and Italy and South Africa and England and Germany and Russia and Japan and China and the United States are all together against the enemy. That is the people. Do they still fight with each other occasionally? Do they jockey for oil and power? Yes, just like a local La Cosa Nostra fights with each other every decade or so. But they don't ever scare off their quarry. They don't ever scare off who they're feeding on. They don't ever scare off their slaves. They don't ever scare off the deer, the prey. Just like pelicans may fight over a school of fish, but they never warn the fish so another pelican doesn't get them. Your pelicans fight over a great spot right off the jetty where the fish like to come in at the tide? Yeah, I've seen pelicans get in fights with each other. Little arguments. But they sure don't run the fish off. And see, that's how it works here. And so that's what we face. That's what we're under. Institutionalized mass murder. You think the Nazis were bad, killing millions of people in death camps? Putting fluoride in the water, using IBM International Business Machines, donated by Thomas Watson to decide who to kill, who to work, how long to work somebody, what to feed them with their ID number. You know who was given the contract by the New World Order over 60 years ago to run the global grid? IBM. IBM is global government. It is an institution. It is run by zealots who aren't into money, ladies and gentlemen. They believe in what they're doing. Microsoft, an institution of global government. The Pentagon, an institution of global government to carry out eugenics, to carry out death and extermination and murder and brainwashing. Now, looking at that, I want to have a serious debate and have the population wake up to the true nature of the world and what makes the power elite tick. And sure, everybody isn't going to listen to us at first, but as they see everything we've talked about unfold, Then they'll finally look at globalist documents. Then they'll finally look at think tank planning and long-term strategic operations. Then serious people, intelligent people, will finally look at what we've claimed, will find out it's true, and then we can have a real debate, not about Sarah Palin or John McCain or Barack Obama or Joe Biden, but about, do we want our future to be like this? Do we want this to really happen? Do we want to have this global elite who set up a scientific dictatorship over 100 years ago and is carrying out a great plan? Do we want this to happen? I mean, do you want to die an untimely death through eugenics, through aggressive, offensive eugenics operations against you and your family? Do you want that to happen? We have to have a debate about this, the prime issue, what drives the New World Order. Your call straight ahead.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Aaron Dykes during the break just said, I can't believe you're the only person who's really talking about the scientific dictatorship. And I hear some of the talk show hosts starting to pick up on it, but they'll just use catchphrases and repeat the terms we use. We need, all of us need to really get into this in depth. Maybe I'll have Aaron in during the third hour, because we did a four-part series on eugenics, and that's all the elite talks about. It's all they're into. They've used basic psychology to neutralize us and tell us the elite doesn't exist, so we can't even ever get to the point of resisting them. I mean, it's just amazing to watch it all happen. But look, John, Eddie, Tim, Nate, Georgetta, Gary, we're going to get to everybody. Now I'm just going to calls. I've got to just shut up and take your calls. John in Illinois, 20, 30 minutes ago, I answered your question, I think, about, you know, not wanting to execute the elite, but to put them in prison for the rest of their lives, because it's a very dangerous Pandora's box to start political executions.
Well, I agree. I concur. A French Revolution-style thing can really get out of control. But I'm saying if we have a peaceful revolution, we impanel a grand jury, these men are indicted and found guilty, I think that the top guys need to answer for their crime. They must answer, and that's it. And also, I was at the Rally for the Republic. It was very inspiring. Jesse Ventura surprised us all by coming out for 9/11 truth, basically.
Now, I know most of the Paul supporters are 9/11 truthers, but that's something that is kept in the closet. Did you see any gasp by some of the mainline Republicans going, no?
No, I did not, but there's also another something I'd like to relate to you. During the evening, before Representative Paul spoke, there was an announcement between speakers for all Republican delegates to return to St. Paul to the convention. And I don't know if the gentleman who was making the announcement was pulling everybody's legs, but he said that means there's 500 more spaces down here on the floor, folks. Come on down.
Absolutely. A lot of them were Ron Paul supporters. I appreciate you calling in, John. Let's go to John in California. You're on the air. Okay, he dropped off. Eddie in New York, you're on the air.
Okay, I have a suggestion for you, and also I think I've discovered a name for the syndrome that's killing all the young men around the world. It's a variation of cleaners syndrome. You know, the cleaners are the guys who go and kill all the witnesses after an assassination. So this is a slight variation of that.
Yeah, I mean, when you get tasered and died, it's not the taser, it's a syndrome. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
and look, they'll tell the cattle that, and they'll believe it.
My suggestion is something I picked up from the Ron Paul campaign. I used to have a little a rubber stamp saying Ron Paul for president. And I just ordered two more rubber stamps for me. The first line says 911 was an inside job. Second line says www.infowars.com. And I stamp it on every dollar bill, every $20 bill, everything I spend, all my checks, so people can order these things online. Just go get a rubber stamp saying.
Yeah, the government wants to surveil us and watch us and try to intimidate us. How about tens of millions of us just make so much noise that, I mean, there are millions more of us than there are them. Literally, it's like Mark Kornke always says, using a hunting analogy, it's like moose hunting. They have to have a lottery because only one out of five or six people gets to actually go moose hunting because there's not enough moose. I mean, this is like a million to one here. The New World Order operates off of illusion, off of lies and fraud, and we have the power.
What's your take on Prince Charles a couple weeks ago saying GMO foods are bad and everybody should go organic? Has he suddenly become a good guy, or is there some other aspect to it?
Well, no. The elites do know that GMO is bad. They are aware of what's going on, and so they have to get ready to pose as the good guys. In fact, it's come out the royal family owns controlling stock in one of the big three GMO companies. But see, they're creating the crisis, but then he has to position himself as the good guy for the solution. And then, oh, we need a global government to stop GMO, you understand. Just like they create the terrorists and fund them, and then, oh, give your rights up, we'll protect you from the terrorist. Or, oh, give your rights up, there's cocaine on the streets, and they're shipping it in. We'll be right back in 60 seconds with more calls.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I want to talk about the big picture today. Yeah, it's annoying having 30 million illegal aliens, predominantly from Mexico, running around saying the U.S. belongs to Mexico, get the gringo, and to have the media cover it up because the globalists want to break down our borders and destroy the middle class, turn us all into slaves. But if you pull back past the propaganda, you can see how the poor Mexicans are being manipulated, just like Americans are manipulated to want to kill Iraqis. And you realize that they're engaging in eugenics, that about one-third of the Mexicans born in Mexico City, 30-plus million people, are born with a syndrome without their brains because of the toxic waste. You know what? And I love those poor children being born without brains. I want that to stop. That's real environmental degradation. That's a real crisis. But you'll hear nothing about stopping that. No, they want you to tax yourself and what you breathe and what you exhale for a global tracking grid to make humans an enemy and to make breathing a tax. So when I know that they've got death mills set up by eugenicists that call black people and Hispanics human weeds, and I know that it's, quote, liberal, I know that I can expose them and stop the murder of blacks and Hispanics and whites. I don't care what color you are. Are you Mexican? Are you black? Are your conservative leaders telling you? Are your white leaders telling you that it's a eugenics operation? No, they're not. And let me tell you something. I've had La Reconquistas in my face yelling and screaming. That just happened last week in Denver. And I said to them, you know what? Why are you liberal, foundation liberals, talking about Planned Parenthood in the Latino and black communities there to openly exterminate them? And boy, those foundation liberals, the color goes out of their face and they turn and they walk away. Because they know you got them. You understand? So they can tribally play us off against each other. And I'm tribal. I believe in the United States. It's not perfect, but it's the best it's been here, and it's my heritage. And I believe in the Bill of Rights and Constitution. It's better than anything else. But at the end of the day, I don't hate Mexicans. Even if on the Mexican radio in Texas, they say we're taking over, ha, 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 dumb gringos. I mean, it sounds like a Ku Klux Klan rally, but the other way around. I don't hate them. I understand they've been manipulated, they've been brainwashed, all the bad things that have happened to them have been blamed on the United States, and to a certain extent it's true, but it's our elites doing it. And I know the Mexican elite, one of the most corrupt and powerful in the world, is bought and paid for by Chase Manhattan Citibank. And I know that they're using the U.S. as a revolutionary steam valve to keep their people from ever taking over. I'd love Mexico to become a first world nation. I'd love the people to be able to have their own land and make their own money. I'd love to go down there and be friends with them. It's a beautiful place. I'd love to go live down there. But we have to be enemies, don't we? Because the New World Order said so in Divide and Conquer. People go, well, wait, if it's divide and conquer, Alex, why then are you against the open borders and La Reconquista? Because I understand they're using the divide and conquer, so I have to be against the New World Order program. If the New World Order is for vaccines, I'm against it. If the New World Order is for Planned Parenthood, I'm against it. If the New World Order is for open borders, I'm against it. And then I could intellectually and scientifically go analyze from a socioeconomic, political, sociological, anthropological, I can look at it from the anthropology angle, and I can go and study it, and sure enough, anything they're doing, I need to be against. Now, I mean their real programs, their real operations. They've got that other trick where they'll play a Palin off against a Biden and then debate who's the best VP when the president doesn't run anything, much less a VP, and then conservatives hear liberals attacking Palin, so, oh, she must be good. And liberals hear conservatives attacking Joe Biden, so he must be good. So they also have false fights to manipulate you. And I know you know that, but I mean, if you really consciously, I hear the other Patriot talk shows, they're all discussing the different VPs. I mean, we're not really doing that here. I can't join in on the delusion. We'll be right back with your call straight ahead. Stay with me.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I think we're going to do part five coming up in an hour and a half. We haven't done one in about 6-8 months with Aaron Dykes on the scientific dictatorship. The first four parts, we went into the whole history into great detail with quotes and sources and documents. We'll do some of that today, but I'm giving him short notice. We're just going to do a basic overview for an hour before Paul Watson joins us in the last 30 minutes to discuss the global cooling that's happening. Big developments there, big scientific reports coming out on that subject, really throwing a monkey wrench into the global taxers. I mean, they knew it was going to cool off. All their internal reports knew that decades ago, but this kind of cooled faster than they'd predicted. So it's really kind of monkey wrenching them now. But they're just saying it's global cooling, man-made greenhouse gases now. So that's coming up. All right, let's go to your calls. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. I am going to control myself now. We are going to go to your calls. Tim in Texas, you're on the air. Come ahead, Tim. Tim, we can really get you on air if you just come to the phone.
Hey, Alex.
Go ahead.
I was just wanting to make mention of an unrelated thing. I was watching the Republican convention yesterday, and the coolest thing happened in the first opening shot that my DVR caught here while David Gregory was, you know, doing his introduction. Someone was holding up a great big 9/11 Truth Now banner on a pole right over his left shoulder.
Well, I know that on MSNBC for several hours off and on, 9/11 truthers had huge investigate 9/11. 9/11's an inside job banners and signs, and visually took it over, and off and on, because the police said no bullhorns, were able to chant 9/11's an inside job. They also gave speeches, but those didn't go across. It's too complex. It won't make it across when you're talking over somebody. You've got to make it simple. But are you talking about something separate?
Oh, right on the TV screen. As
during what?
The very beginning of the CNBC coverage, their seven-hour stretch of Republican convention coverage.
So you saw that today or yesterday?
I saw it today on the DVR taken yesterday. It started recording like 6 p.m.
Well, they're going to be out there today. This is the last day of the convention, and there'll be a wind-down tomorrow, so everybody should be in St. Paul out at these parks. But, I mean, if five of you go and chant together, 9/11's an inside job, or Infowars.com, or WeAreChange.org, it will go out over TV. I mean, if people will just, unfortunately, the 9/11 truthers are mainly giving speeches, and then all you hear is, again, because you have the host talking over you, but even, let's do a test right now. I'm going to be talking normal, and then I want you to just say 9/11's an inside job over and over again, and listen to this, listeners. You can't help but focus on what Tim in Texas is saying. Tim, are you ready? I'm going to talk like I'm normally talking.
Ready.
Well, I got up this morning, and I want you to go ahead and say 9/11's an inside job 10 times over me, okay?
All right.
Talk over me, Tim. Go ahead. You start saying.
9/11 is an inside job.
Anyways, I got up this morning. I got up this morning, and I
9/11 is an inside job.
Help make my children breakfast with my wife.
9/11 is an inside job.
And then I
9/11 is an inside job.
Got ready for about an hour and a half reading news.
9/11 is an inside job.
And then I went and I got on the stair stepper for 25 minutes.
9/11
is all the time I had to do that.
9/11 is an inside job.
Now, that's enough. Thanks. Now, listeners, compare it to if he just starts talking. Okay, start giving a speech. Start talking about what you did this morning, and I'll talk about what I did this morning, and then all it does is become unintelligible. But if we chant simple things, it goes over. And I'm not trying to tell people what to do. It's ineffective when other groups go out and give speeches over the person. It doesn't work. Now you go ahead, Tim.
And, well, the best thing about...
Okay, well, I'm going to start talking over you, too. And just keep talking. No, don't be polite. Just keep talking about the...
All right.
And then what I did was is I went out and I got in the car, and then I noticed that I had forgotten my papers
on the TV screen,
outside. I noticed that I'd left my papers in the printer in my house, so I was almost late getting to the studio because I had to turn around and come back home. Now, folks, you notice you couldn't really... That was very annoying. That just made you tune out. But if you chant the same thing, or basically 9/11 is an inside job 10 times, and then investigate 9/11 10 times, and then Google inside job 10 times, and then InfoWars 10 times, or whatever you want, you will take over these transmissions. Okay, I'm going to stop interrupting you now, Tim. Go ahead.
Well, the best thing is, to me, is that rather than anything audio, it was a great big blue visual banner right over his left shoulder. Doesn't matter what he was saying, people were seeing that.
And by the way, I did confirm with We Are Change 9/11 Truth Minnesota that the local Republican supporters are attacking the banners and trying to pull them down. And the same thing happened with Democrats. So again, they think you're attacking their party. And the two parties prop each other up. Go ahead.
Oh, the great thing is, though, towards the end of that, while Sarah Palin was speaking, CNBC flashed over to where they were actually four guys in suits escorting this young woman out of the stadium. And as the four guys in suits were escorting her out, another guy in a suit, looked just like him, was bringing down a sign that had a pro-Sarah Palin message on it. It was just odd.
Well, that's why when Barack Obama went to Berlin, they said no signs, no Barack Obama, no, because if they just pull down investigate 9/11 signs, you'll have a sea of blue and red Barack Obama with the all-seeing eye rising up of Sauron behind him. But in Austin and other cities, an investigate black and white sign, the local PNAC guys did that here, Project for New American Citizen, great folks. They raise up their black and white sign, totally took over the image, really good psychological counter-warfare, totally dominated. So they're afraid of that, so they ban signs, again, First Amendment, at most of these events. Now, that's really unenforceable. The police are losing lawsuits. They don't care. It's our money to begin with. But I misunderstood. You're saying during Sarah Palin's speech, somebody held up and investigate 9/11. Tell us from start to finish what you witnessed.
Actually, not the start 9/11. As they were escorting a young woman out, these four guys in suits that, you know, probably with the Republican Party for all I know, were escorting her out. Another guy that looked just like them was bringing down a hand-painted Palin Power sign. I don't know if the party was passing them out to people that didn't think to make them beforehand or whatever, but she's flashing the peace sign as she's being escorted out of the building, and another guy in a suit is bringing down another Palin Power sign on poster board.
Yeah, that's because they can't allow any signs that don't look official. Again, anything official is okay. It's all selectively enforced. Anything not official isn't allowed. That's in some cases. That sounds like what you're saying here. But in the case of Berlin and other places, they're just saying no signs. I appreciate your call, Tim. Let's go to Georgetta in New Mexico. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi there, Alex.
Hi.
I've watched your DVD, The Endgame. I love it. I have watched Truth Rising. I love it. I also had a subject about four or five things I was going to ask you. Since I don't get your radio program here, I have to dial in long distance and just sit and listen to the program that way. So I'm always behind or I miss out on things. But when you were in Denver, you were going out to a concentration camp and investigate that, and then I didn't ever get to hear what you found.
Okay, it was a secret camp. You know, the news issue is that the federally funded local Denver police-run camp was a secret out in this big warehouse. They told reporters to leave and threatened to arrest them. By the time we got there, they were more PR-savvy and were really somewhat nice to us, other than saying they'd arrest us if we crossed any of the police line tape around the whole facility.
Okay.
But they did overall arrest about 300 people, they reported last weekend, around 300 in the 5 days, and did take them to that facility.
Where was it out of Denver?
Pardon me?
Where was it?
I don't have the address in front of me.
Okay. And secondly, I was going to ask you, did you know that there's a Mediterranean Union that was formed June the 13th that was announced by the French EU president of the EU?
Yes, they announced a year ago the Asian Union, and then it officially formed about 3 weeks ago, and they officially announced with Sarkozy about 7 months ago a Mediterranean Union, and it officially formed a few weeks ago. And there are actual news articles saying I'm insane, me personally, and that none of this exists.
Well,
African Union doesn't exist. They have a Capitol building. It was built 10 years ago. They have meetings every day. Doesn't exist. European Union doesn't exist. North American Union doesn't exist. Asian Union doesn't exist. And the public just says, you know what? It doesn't exist. And Russia attacked Georgia.
Well, since I don't have a computer, I'm an older lady and I don't have a computer, I just called the main library here in Albuquerque, and they told me all about the North American Union, and they told me all about the Mediterranean Union. Now I learned through a different newspaper article that the South American states have now joined a month ago.
It was actually 2 months ago Chavez union. Kicked that off, and they're claiming it's separate from the New World Order, but it's part of the false left-right paradigm. In 1998, there was a huge article they printed in whole, a UN plan. They said the world's getting wise to world government, and they don't want it. So we've got to give them a left choice that's, quote, anti-U.S. socialist, and a right choice that's basically George W. Bush. This is right before he got into office.
All right.
But they were even talking about, you know, a right-wing government. And again, it's that false choice that props up the overall world government. Instead of saying, we don't want a world government, they say, okay, you've got a choice, strawberry ice cream or vanilla ice cream. And then you think you're having a choice, but what if you don't want ice cream? You see, or you know, instead of giving it something that sounds tasty, a bucket of nails. You can eat these three-penny nails or these four-penny nails. Which nails do you want to eat? Instead of, no, I don't want to eat either bucket of nails. And it's the same thing. You know, it's oh my God, I'm for Obama, I'm not for McCain. Or I'm for McCain, I'm not for Obama. The two prop each other up. It props up the two-party system. It props up the two-party dictatorship. The twins. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Gary in Illinois, first-time caller. Welcome, Gary.
Hi, Alex. I've been listening to you for about 10 years, and I got a bunch of stuff to vent on you. I hope you have some time. I'll start out with an idea. Are you familiar with chip-ins for contributions for different causes? Or
yes, somewhat
okay.
Familiar.
How about, they got the voice stress evaluators out there. They have state-of-the-art stuff that looks pretty good. You can find film on that on the internet, but you get a lie detector and you use a split screen, so when these bozos go on TV and tell their lies, you can show what the machine is saying and then have somebody give an analysis of it. How does that sound?
Well, that's more of an art form than a science, and you know, for 40 years plus, people went to the electric chair, people went to the gallows, people got lethal injections off of lie detectors. And it turns out, if, you know, they've got you in a police room and they've got you hooked up to a lie detector and you're freaked out thinking that they think that you killed somebody, obviously your heart rate's going to jump. Obviously your stress is going to increase when they say, did you murder the little girl? And then you know they think you did. And so they really found that it was used to frame people. And now with DNA, they found that more than a third of people on death row, in every case where they get DNA, we're not the individuals. A lot of times people confess later and release photos of even how they did it, so it's 100%. So a third of the people, and a lot of times the police even know that. They just go out and right. Grab somebody, generally who's already been an ex-con, so their rationale is, well, they deserve it anyways. And so Now, because the lie detectors have been discredited, they're moving on to MRI brain scans. They're moving on to new lie detectors, and which have been proven to be fraud. It's like where they hook you up to a brain machine, and it decides if you've seen that image before. If your brain fires up the area that's seen, say, a person dead and bloody on a floor. Well, who hasn't seen that a million times on television? And then who says you can trust that government technician or corporate technician, even if the machine can be proven to work? You see, I'm for the death penalty in a 10,000 BC scenario. I believe that if somebody's caught doing something and you know they did it, kill them. But you need a wise counsel, you know, or a wise group of jurors to decide that. That's where the old wise men come in. But you can't trust the old wise men now. You probably never could. They will set people up for political expediency. The government is so corrupt and evil and so tyrannical, you can't trust them to carry out the garbage, much less preside over life and death. You understand?
Yeah, well, this would be used for news broadcast when Bush or somebody else gets up there. That's what I had in mind, not necessarily, you know, a...
Obviously, there's something to it. I mean, disingenuous, yeah. George Bush radiates disingenuousness. But Bill Clinton radiated, I did not have sex with that woman, and he put out every body language and every fact that was true. There are a lot of liars who know how to believe what they're saying and create false conviction. They're called good actors. Okay, and so the problem is none of this stuff's 100%, Bubba.
Yeah, but, you know, somebody else might be further advanced in knowledge about that, so I just thought I'd...
Yeah, but how does the mass trust them? You see, how do you trust the person who's invented the better mousetrap?
Yeah, I seen some stuff look pretty good, but another thing is...
But that's military-industrial complex companies with these different newscasts selling you on brain scanners and selling you on passive MRIs and selling you on passive biometrics. And I'm telling you, I can show you just as many studies. Tampa had to pull face scanners out. By pull it out, they quit giving it to local police squad car access because they kept SWAT teaming innocent construction workers and people at outdoor cafes thinking they were bank robbers from the NCIC database because the machine wasn't working.
Well, I have another idea for activists out there. We recently had a August 11th street action where we're passing out DVDs up here in Chicago, and we're in front of the ABC studios where they put them in a glass cage on street level, and it was pretty interesting because it really pissed off the talking heads, and it was quite effective in that they saw how readily the people were taking the DVDs. So there's a lot of cities across the nation that got those window newscast setups. New York City has it with Fox.
Well, let me say this, Gary, and I'm going to hold you over. It is people like you that are going to save this country and the world. If we simply go out, get in front of all their live TV cameras, get in front of our churches, get in front of our schools, start speaking up, start taking over the public square, doesn't matter if it's one person. That will change the world, and you are changing the world. Stay with us. A global government controlled by private families. A global corporate structure where every purchase and transaction is chronicled. Where if you're not a good servant of the New World Order, your ID card, which you can buy and sell with, is turned off. A New World Order where collecting rainwater is illegal. Where raising your own poultry, cattle, fish is illegal. It's already here in many areas. And if you're not a good little globalist, they just turn your driver's license off. License plate scanning cameras then alert the police that you've got an unauthorized driver, unauthorized car on the road, and you are arrested. Rob Jacobson, that works in this office, got one ticket 2 years ago for speeding. He was given a $2,000. state of Texas surcharge. He didn't pay it, and they turned his driver's license off. That is the future. They don't want you to have a nice house and do well. They don't want a good economy. They're going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. The worse the economy gets, the more cops they'll be out writing you tickets. They're going to bankrupt you, get you on welfare, where their eugenics hospitals can have their way with you. It's total cold-blooded control. All right, let's go back to Gary and then David, Leo, Mark, and others. A lot of calls from Illinois today. Gary, finish up.
Yeah, so if people go to YouTube and look under Swizzle Steve stuff, they could note the reaction of the reporters. They were perplexed and pretty mad about it, especially the woman reporter.
Now, tell folks how you got organized, how you took action, what you did, where you went.
We're part of Lone Lantern with Gary Franchi out of Chicago.
Sure, and tell folks what you did.
Yeah, well, we go on a street on every 11th with a minimum of 500 DVDs, also stuffed with deception dollars and rubber stamping on the back for more information, and directing people to InfoWars, by the way. And we go out there, and if we have literature made up, we use that also. So a couple guys got there early, and they happened to be in suits. One guy purposely went out that way. Another guy was working downtown, and the reporters were sitting in the window looking at him and talking about him. And, you know, some had kind of a smirk on their face, according to the early guy.
Well, it's upsetting to see the slaves communicating with each other, right, and getting active. That scares the criminals.
Yeah, so later on, 13 more of us came down there, and we broke out the DVDs. Some split out into other areas on the corners and that, but we were mostly congregated in front of the windows, and we had our signs. A 70-year-old woman came down there, and she helped us out. And we were talking amongst the pedestrians going by, and some of them were pretty interested in what we had to say. So all this took place in front of these people, and between commercials and that, you know, they're looking at us and seeing what's going on, where we had pretty good reception that day. It's getting better all the time.
They were horrified to see fellow slaves talking with each other, handing out material.
Right.
Oh, no, they're getting wise to us. What are we going to do?
Yep.
And of course, those local news people are nothing. They all think they're part of the power structure. You run into them, and they're nothing. No, they would be something if they were on the street with you, standing against evil. They think they're something, joining with the power structure, and that makes them less than nothing. I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, Gary. Let's go to David in Missouri. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
I'm a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber. I just want to let you know Fabled Enemies is truly quite amazing. I enjoyed watching that. I know that you're good friends with George Norrie, and I wanted to let you know that I heard the show two nights ago that they had about aspartame and Donald Rumsfeld's involvement in getting that push through and everything. And I'm just totally disgusted by the fact that, you know, he worked so hard to get that through, use the good buddy thing, and you cannot get away from that stuff. It's eating holes in our brains. It's causing cancer, you know, amongst all the other things that it does.
And by the way, listeners, when he was the head of Searle, Rumsfeld, it's like he's a devil that appears with a poof of smoke at every evil juncture, giving weapons to Saddam. It's Rumsfeld. Giving nuclear reactors for nuclear weapons production to North Korea. The head of the company that did that, Rumsfeld. Getting aspartame approved, getting Terminator seeds approved, Rumsfeld. I mean, Rumsfeld is truly evil. I mean, he is truly a gopher for the most evil elements of the New World Order. And for those that don't know, in 1981, Searle itself, owned by Monsanto, did a whole bunch of their own internal tests. And all the baby monkeys, they would put the aspartame in the milk. It would kill them. First they'd have seizures and they'd die. And they still got it approved, and now it's in thousands of foods. You cannot find, folks, stuff you think's full sugar gum. No, it's even in that. Wrigley's,
yeah,
Big Red. Yeah, it's in foods. It's in tens of thousands of products, and it's an absolute fact, and it's by design. Now, right when they put it on the market and approved it, they announced that one little study, when they fed 500 times the mass to rats of the original sweetener, when they fed 500 times that to them, not the aspartame, you know, not the equal as its name is, but when they fed the pink packs of the older type system to them, yes, you got a few fatty, non-malignant tumors in the rats. So when you tell the public, hey, it's aspartame, the blue pack's what's bad, they say, no. The news says it's the pink pack. So they make them put a warning on the pink pack right when the blue came out. Go ahead.
Right, and I was a vegan for over 2.5 years. I felt great. I was eating, you know, vegetables and fruits and grains and stuff like that. And I am absolutely not even able to afford to eat that way. My wife and I went on that diet because she was a diabetic. She still is a diabetic. And she had to get off of her medicines from the doctor because they were making her sick. She was staying up all night long with diarrhea in most cases. Every time that she'd go in, they'd want to change, you know, her medication. And she would be sick for 3 or 4 days. And finally, we just, you know, decided, you know, you're just getting worse with this. Let's do something different. So we changed our diets. Her blood sugar went down, everything. But it was $100 a piece per week for us both to eat organic fruits and vegetables and to get off of this stuff. And the average person cannot live, you know, can't eat that way. That's, for two people, that's $800 a month just for food. And it just totally disgusts me that this guy pushed so hard to get this stuff through. It's in our pop. It's in, like you said, in our chewing gum. It makes it almost impossible for you to even go to the store and find something that you can afford that doesn't have this garbage.
And for those that don't know, the GMO, and by the way, that's how they produce. Aspartame is produced organically. It's really weird stuff.
And
the whole GMO complex is part of the eugenics program. They state it. They are taking over the food. They are patenting it. They are shutting down the family farm and ranch. Go ahead.
And it's you'll also notice, like, say, for instance, if it doesn't say aspartame directly on it, it will say contains phenylotronics. So if anybody is seeing that on their food, get away from that stuff because it makes you sick. I remember drinking a diet soda one time just out of the blue because I was really craving it and needed some caffeine or something, and I was angry as heck after I drank that stuff. I mean, it changes your entire emotional system.
They knew when they introduced it in 82 with all the Coke Is It ads, with the showgirls out there, you know, dancing to it. Coke Is It, Coke Is It.
Right.
They knew that it is a neurotoxin. When a cobra bites you, you get high as a kite. When you ingest poison, you get high off most poisons. Arsenic will do that. Cyanide does that in small amounts. You know, a few grams of it, you're dead. They know what they're doing, and it came out in their own internal documents that this is addictive. Again, these people are diabolical.
At you whenever there's, you know, when they get on camera, everything's great, we're doing this. And I remember a quote from Donald Rumsfeld one time, whenever somebody asked him a question, he said, you know, a wise man said to me one time, if you're not making anybody angry, you're not getting anything accomplished. And I'm like, you're an idiot. So anyway, I'll let you go, and I just want to let you know that you and George Norrie are my personal heroes. Take care.
Well, thank you. You know, folks can criticize George Norrie because he has, you know, Chupacabra, space alien stuff on his show, but before he took over, that's all that was on that show. And now about 30% of the time, he's talking about issues that we can document. Aspartame, sodium fluoride, mercury in the vaccines, FEMA camps. And he has done so much for the alternative media movement. The establishment thinks that, well, by mixing it in on that show, that, you know, by letting George do that, that, you know, somehow it just discredits everything. It does the opposite. People can differentiate. And George Norrie is a really nice guy, and he's taken a lot of risk having me on. He's gone through a lot of heat for having me on, and he's taken that show in an entirely different direction. And I'm not getting into a fight with Art Bell. Art Bell doesn't particularly like me. That's fine. I have nothing against Art Bell. I think he was a very talented radio talk show host. But I don't expect everything from people. And I'm very thankful to Coast to Coast AM and everything they've done for my websites and my films and this radio show. I mean, most talk show hosts won't interview other talk show hosts. And that's because they know that normally you get stabbed in the back or the person turns against you. In fact, that kind of, the Patriot movement kind of ruined Art Bell. Art Bell was doing anti-New World Order shows, started to do them in about 98, 99. He started interviewing the staples of the Patriot movement, and they did what they always did. They made up a bunch of stuff about him. Art had to sue him. Some of the affiliates got burned because of it who didn't deserve that. And it almost shut down Patriot Talk Radio. And then Art Bell just said, you know what? I had these Patriots on. If you want to know the truth of what happened, I had these Patriots on, and they absolutely stabbed me in the back. And then I saw Art totally flip-flop and go the other direction. And you know what? It makes you want to be nasty. It makes you want to be isolated. When group after group, I mean, when you're the big fish, and, you know, my websites are both, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are both rated as big as Coast to Coast AM, so together they're bigger. They're double the size. But as for radio audience, I've got a few million in a week. Coast to Coast has got 16 million a night, and that's rated. That's on rated stations where it's on the Arbitron. And I tell you, it's a lot higher than that. So there's nothing that big anywhere in the media other than Rush Limbaugh with 22 million listeners. And a lot of these crazy patriot people who aren't real patriots, they're egomaniacs, George Norrie's actually had him on a few times. He'll have this host, and then they always attack him in a month or two. Talk about killing the goose that lays the golden eggs. You guys are so overconfident. You'll have some little bitty radio show without even affiliates, some internet thing. And George Norrie will have them on for an hour. And they'll turn around and tell the biggest lies about him. And they never has him back on. And then they bitch and say, oh, look, he didn't have me back on after I said he was this and that. Well, yeah. It's like inviting somebody over for coffee and they stand up in the chair and start urinating in the sugar bowl. I mean, you people are weird. You don't think I don't want people to fill in on this show, people to work with me, people I want to build up? Rising tide raises all ships. I believe in that. But unfortunately, the public is ruined. Now, our listeners are the best. The Patriot movement, the freedom lovers, Ron Paul people, the truth movement, the liberty movement, people, the reality movement. Salt of the earth, but so many opportunists, so many people drift into this movement, and then good people in the movement don't know what to believe, so we start fighting with each other, and we get manipulated and set up against each other. And this is not me talking about myself here, because I don't care. I mean, I could walk out naked in front of a crowd of a million people with my pot belly hanging out. It's not that I'm an exhibitionist. It's actually the opposite. But I don't care what people think of me. I really don't. I really got to that point. But I do care what distortions of who I am does to the movement and others. Who, I mean, literally, we are the ocean. This radio show, my listeners, are the ocean. By every yardstick. On which the growth and the explosion of the reality movement is based. 9 out of 10 people will say they woke up from my websites or this show. Talk to them. Ask them. I'm the most recognized name in this movement and the most serious name. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But we've stayed away from things, whether they're real or not, that are discrediting. And what is the thanks I get for that? Crazies, completely obsessed with me, 24/7, spewing every lie you can imagine, every distortion, every half-truth. But usually, it's not ever half-truth, it's more like what do you call a 10% truth? You know, there's always some node of truth, some kernel of truth, but then there's this whole lie built onto it. And I see the attacks against myself, both from governmental sectors, COINTELPRO sectors, but it's not even that. It's a ruined, brainwashed, brain-damaged society who can wake up to a new world order, but who are so morbidly obsessed that they can't get along with their neighbors, their friends, their family, other people. They just attack. And I've watched this with George Norrie. He's had guest on after guest after guest, and if after 6 months after George has him on, they don't have him back on, same thing with here. They'll think, you don't like me. You want to destroy me. You didn't link to me. I'm going to get you. And then it's a self-fulfilling process. I mean, every day I get these emails and calls, you know, you did this and you did that, and respond to this or I'm going to get you. And I'll respond and say, I don't even know what you're talking about. And they'll say, it's almost like a mass schizophrenia. And I think this radio show attracts kind of people that are borderline. Because you're going to have the dumbed down mass who are in la-la land. Their house could be on fire. They wouldn't know it. But then out of the awake spectrum, you have that extreme of really what can only be described as egomaniacs, schizophrenics, borderline schizophrenics, violent schizophrenics.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? It make it easier on you.
By the way, in case the listeners weren't aware of this, I can officially tell you the radio show,
you said,
with affiliates, internet life, listeners, the films, the websites,
when it's one need,
everything we're doing is exploding thanks to you. Everything is exponentially growing. Just in our little corner of the info war. I mean, you know, people can say Motley Crue, evil devil music, and I tend to agree with you. I'm just using this as a gauge. I've been sent a bunch of YouTube videos from their live concerts, and we've confirmed they're playing long clips of Terror Storm, long clips of Truth Rising, and pointing at the big movie screens and saying, check it out! 9/11's an inside job, and all these Crue fans are calling us. And I've got Henry Rollins on, and during the break, I go, hey, I want to send you some of my films. And he's like, well, why do you need to do that? I buy them, Alex. I love Terror Storm. Just got your second edition. And again, that's just a gauge of... I had Ralph Nader's chief of staff telling me about Endgame and, you know, how much he likes it. And like, all of Ralph Nader's people were listeners. These are supposed, you know, socialists or whatever, but they're waking up to the larger paradigm of the New World Order. I mean, some would call them that. I mean, we have to be prepared to win here. We have to be prepared to actually wake people up and turn the tide. But so much of our movement, I guess kind of not the old line movement, but earlier waves, who haven't been as successful as this show, are mad. It's like, no, look at him get all that attention. No, no. What are you worried about? If all you're in it for is your ego and being a big shot, as my listeners, wake more people up and make the liberty movement bigger, you get more people to listen to your little radio show or see your films. And hell, if you wouldn't act like demons, you'd probably be on this show. Again, I'm trying to spank some of our own movement out there into realizing you are screwing yourselves. You've got to be nice behind the scenes. You've got to be friendly. You can't be a bunch of screwballs. Because every time I'm in the media, every time some big event happens on the web, then the attacks all intensify on 100 fronts about other issues. And it's pure jealousy. Let me give all my enemies and detractors a little news tip. All your attacks only make the radio show bigger. All your attacks only empower me. And then once they come to me, then I give them real issues, real information. And so in a sick way, you're actually helping things. I believe it would be even bigger if people just stuck to issues and actually warned the public about vaccines and autism and diabetes, or about sodium fluoride and cancer, or about the larger eugenics program that's going on. Or if you gave people links to the different 9/11 films that are out there online for free. Or if you made copies of films like Fabled Enemies that just came out, now shipping out on DVD. Jason Burmes' new film that I produced. Go read the description at InfoWars.com. It's amazing. Watch it right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, those are solutions right there. You can download it in DivX format to burn it to DVDs, to play on DVD players. I mean, we have it one click ready for you to just burn it to disk all day long. We want you to. You got to pay the 15 cents a day, though, so we can pay for the bandwidth. So we can give it away. Literally, it's like the primer in a bullet casing and a shell casing. All you got to do is pull the trigger, folks. But I want to tell my listeners, I salute you. I love you. I'm amazed by you. Because you've taken the gloves off and you are kicking New World Order butt. Back in 60 seconds, will it be technical 70? And I'm going right to your calls. Everybody stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right. John, who'd you say is first? Is it David or Leo? Oh, Mark in Florida's first. Mark in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
Good.
I want to thank you, Alex, for the statement that you made on Russian television. For what you said, I thought it was extremely brave of you to say that.
Well, it's the truth, and it's real easy. I just tell the truth.
Well, that's good. The question I have to you, I'm an ex-liberal, Alex, and I have a question about martial law.
All right.
My girlfriend went out to your site and some of the advertising, and there's a fella out there, I can't remember whether it's Survived Martial Law or whatever, and his view, the question that she has for me, and I can't answer it, is will we all be killed if we have guns? Because what he seems to indicate is that unless you're militarily trained and you have an assault weapon, and even if you do that, you should bury it in the backyard, you know, until the first wave is over. But for people with just regular weapons, like you say you have, and like some of the rest of us might have or not have, you know, I don't have a lot of weapons experience, but she's worried about that because apparently she wants to survive martial law, you know. So she's quite nervous about weapons in general.
Well, number one, they're going to stage more Katrina-type events and then beta test how to give everybody bracelets, how to put them in FEMA camps, to get everybody used to seeing the cattle go into the chutes and come back out of the slaughterhouse, kind of Judas goat training. And so don't look for big martial law to happen first. Look for it a crisis to deepen and lead into it. And then they just announce you've got to turn your guns in for food. There's different schools of thought. Some say keep a few old guns, so when they come to your house, you give those away and some ammo. Then you've got two other waves of hidden firearms. I tend to think that's a good plan, but every case is different. I've been told that Prepare for Martial Law guy, who I don't completely agree with, if this is the case, says basically don't have guns or turn your guns in, and then they'll move on and leave you alone. The answer is, if the military tries to go door-to-door confiscating American guns, people have a constitutional right to resist criminal activity. And then, if they're met, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, with resistance, they'll back off real quick, which they actually ran into in New Orleans, and they did back off to a certain extent. If they're met with people just handing them in, then tyranny will win. But here's the deal. If 1 out of 100 doesn't turn their guns in, that's over 1 million combatants. And so it doesn't matter. I mean, I guess the most chicken-necked thing to do in martial law would be to turn your guns in. The problem is that if they're doing martial law, and they do have databases, most people who are on it are people that own property. In fact, some of this has been declassified. During martial law, they'd probably pass me right up because they're just going to shut down the media and it won't matter. They're going to be grabbing mayors and bank owners and enemies from business. It's about stealing assets, okay? And so all these people that have served the system, they're the ones that are going to be getting grabbed during a red-blue list type situation, and they do have that. So my answer to you is, if you see a truck forcibly grabbing people house to house and they come to your house, you are going to a re-education camp, and they admit they've built them. And you've got to ask, do you want foreign troops raping your wife? And that's what they do. Foreign felons they've hired. And, you know, I guess in Land of the Cowards, Home of the Slaves, some people are going to want to go to a camp. But letting them take you to a rape camp, and that's what they are, an Abu Ghraib, will ensure their victory.
Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate you giving us an answer on that. And Marianne wants to say hi.
Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for answering our question.
You bet, Marianne. Stay there. I'm going to come back to you. I want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to cut you short. Yeah, I mean, we have to look at this. They are geared up to go door to door and break you and your family up and take you to work camps. Yeah, they're going to make you work in the slave camp. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Cameron in Australia, we're almost to you. I had noticed in the call lineup, we had a foreign call. But in the old days, that meant they were paying for it. It's probably Skype or some internet phone, but we're going to get to you, Cameron. We're going to finish up with Mary Ann, and then we're going to talk to Mary Jo, Cameron, Coyote, Walker, and others. Mary Ann, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I bought the guy's book, How to Survive Martial Law, and I read it, and it was quite frightening, you know, bury your food, bury your guns, and do all this and do all that. And then every now and then I get an update from him, and it's very, very frightening. And we just wanted to know, you know, whether, you know, what to do about the guns and the food and this and that. It's just very frightening.
Well, let me be clear. If there was a 10% chance that in the next 5 years you were going to die in a car wreck, you'd probably make preparations for that or try to stop it. There is more than a 10% chance that martial law will be declared nationally. NORTHCOM, to a certain extent, has already declared it. The shadow government is in control. If we ever try to rebel physically to take over a capital instead of a revolution of ideas, which they can't stop, They can stop any localized attempted takeover with neutron bombs. They've said that's what they're for. The nuclear arsenal is for the American people and really no one else other than third world countries they menace. So this is all stated. But yes, if we go into a hard martial law or some bioweapon release that they release or allow to be released, you're going to need your guns to protect yourself from your neighbors, rioters. If you're not starving to death, neighbors are going to wonder why you're still there. I'd say 90-plus percent of people don't have more than a week of food. I mean, after a week or two, they just shut the food off, shut the interstates off, which they've admitted they've geared up for, and everybody will just show up at the local Superdome. Then they've only got a few thousand people per town or city. You know, let's say it's a town of 100,000. You know, you might have 10,000 holdouts. Then they'll send, I mean, look, they're not hiring aggravated felons and foreigners for the military for nothing. I mean, then they're going to send in some young guys with rocket launchers. They'll burn down your block. And, you know, if somebody's trying to burn your house down, they're terrorists. They're attacking you. You have a right to duty to defend yourself. So, see, that's all your personal decision. People kind of, not you, but others seem to think that we somehow are on air telling you what to do, or that somehow us covering this are you know, that we're making the problem manifest. No. The threat is there, and so it's then up to you. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what the breaks are going to be. We don't know how this is going to unfold. We don't have crystal balls. We just have history, and we have the current elite's own prospectus and their own battle plan and what they've said they're going to do. And so they could release a bioweapon. They could stage a string of terror attacks. They could crash the economy. They could do anything, and they certainly are organizing and moving us toward some flashpoint in the future, and the elite is making every preparation for that. So do we know what that's going to be? No. It could be one of those things I mentioned, a cocktail of those. It could be they could set off a super nuke that blows up three states and then say that an asteroid hit us and we've got to have emergency world reorganization because of it. These are bold, daring, cunning, evil people. And so the sky's the limit with them. Only massive exposure of their criminality and fully discrediting them and exposing their larger eugenics agenda will be able to stop them. Now, I'm not criticizing that sponsor. It's a sponsor of the Genesis Network, and I think they've had an ad a while back on Infowars.com. I'm not saying that's a bad person, but I did get calls about, he says, turn your guns in. If that's the case, I don't agree with it. If he's saying bury your guns, that is smart. I mean, I've got buried guns, folks, and they're not at my house. I'll put it to you that way. But I got guns all over the place. But go ahead.
No, thanks for clearing it up. That's about all. You know, the guy, just the update said, you know, in the next 2 weeks it was going to happen. And you know, it makes us makes me paranoid.
Oh, saying it's going to happen in the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, or 2 weeks. And then the next letter will say something else. So, we're just kind of paranoid.
No, I hear you.
I clarify the fact.
Anything else I can answer for you?
That's it, Alex. Thanks a lot. We love your show, and,
I hope your Supreme Court injury is better. I hope your leg is better.
It's finally better. The weeping wound on my shin finally healed about a week ago. Thank you. Okay, since this got brought up, I don't want to get in fights with sponsors here. The problem is we refuse more than 9 out of 10 sponsors. Or we get one that sounds reasonable on some debt forgiveness thing. The website looks legitimate. It looks like real solutions. And then we find out, yeah, but there's a second packet they send that's a scam. I say, nope, not our sponsor. And I say no to it and watch them go to somebody else and just shake my head. Or we find out, you know, that somebody's selling an herbal product for 3-4 times what it really cost. I will dump the sponsor, or I will refuse the sponsor. I mean, we have some moral bearing. Most people have none. They just, hey, if it's a sponsor, I'll take it. And this is a big issue for me because my employees would be paid a lot more. I would have a lot more capital. I wouldn't have had to do that money bomb if I took all the sponsors that came. Because there is a sucker born every minute. And I've badmouthed sponsors here and that even the network has taken. And the network's like, well, should we just close our doors? And I'm like, no, just investigate that sponsor and then they drop it. And Ted's done that with a bunch. I guess we need some type of code or something. The problem is, you know, I'm working around the clock. It's a small operation. I'm trying to build up what we're doing. And so everything takes investigation time. But yes, it is a mistake people get into saying martial law will happen next month. We will attack Iran next month. That's discrediting. Or we will have martial law in 3 weeks. I was unaware of that. I'm not saying that's the case. And I'm not saying somebody's even disingenuous to be saying that. I just think they're unwise. If that indeed is the case, if indeed they said that. But hey, it's a crazy world. I mean, who knows what's really true? Who knows what's really going to happen? I've gone on air twice and said there's about to be a big terror attack. Call the White House and stop it. And I did it in the months before 9/11, and I did it in late 2006. Fox News covered it and others, and then they didn't carry out the attack. But I saw all the pre-programming, all the preconditioning in the media for that to indeed happen. And so I went on air, and I put the warning out. All right, let's go to the calls here. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania, then Cameron. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good.
I had a question about There was a guy who did some a video about the way we beat England in the Revolutionary War, and they were mad about it, and they wanted payback. But anyway, you remember a few years back when there was a shortage of vaccines, and they said that we buy them from overseas over in England from because of the lawsuits?
Yes.
That would happen in the United States. But I was just wondering, do you think it's like they're putting those they're contaminating those vaccines because it's their way of getting back at us through that eugenics program?
Well, no, they just don't. Look, you can forget some 230-year-old war. Regardless, go ahead.
Well, it was one of your guests was on there, and I watched a video he did about it was something that he did. I can't remember it all now, but I was just wondering about the Britons contaminating the vaccines because they're the ones that are really pulling the strings.
Well, I mean, the British people are not pulling the strings. The global elite, the most powerful group, and the fathers of eugenics are based in London, England, and they had the largest world empire when it reportedly collapsed 80 years ago, began collapsing 80 years ago. And so they went underground. They learned how to create shadow governments, national security states. Full-spectrum domination is what they call it. And yes, England is one of the biggest bases for vaccine manufacture in the world. They also have big vaccine manufacturing facilities in Africa where they can control the media and keep things quiet and have a dumbed down, uneducated population. They make a lot of vaccines in Mexico. They make a lot of them in Canada. They make a lot of them in Australia. And instead of overanalyzing it and saying, well, are the British trying to get us? They give their own people the mercury shots. They give their own people the cancer virus-laden shots. They give their own people the shots giving them diabetes and cancer. Okay? And so it's an idea. It's an elite that are doing it to everyone. Now, they can get away with more hard kill, not soft kill weapons, against Latin Americans, against Indians, against Africans, because they're so poor, the media is so controlled, that they give people UN-funded shots that kill them on the spot in Africa. And then that got a little too obvious. People would flee into the jungle or flee into the fields when the UN would show up with the locals paid off to administer it. And so they would give them more of a soft kill, slow kill weapon. But yes, they're carrying out mass eugenics against all of us, absolutely documented and admitted. And that's the bottom line. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, that woman that previously called, I think there's a rumor going around that the economy is going to collapse September 30th.
Yeah, I've seen that, and there's always a new one. And it is historical that in September or October, economies tend to have big collapses. And I would say it's a probability. I mean, it's a good chance, the way the economy's looking, but it may not happen. And so why hang our hat on it? Thank you.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
North to Alaska. Go north for us, your song.
No, we're not going north to Alaska.
To Alaska.
We're going all the way around the world. What is it, 15, 16,000 miles away
Seattle,
from where I sit, to land down under? Cameron in Australia, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good day, Alex. Good to talk to you again. Second or third time caller. Yeah, I think you have a point about the whole unity thing and about getting over the whole petty childish games that people play because they want to be better than each other. I might hold myself and a few others up as an example of unity worldwide. I had a situation where I had a German friend and she wanted to have some end game and all of those things given to her father, so I met a guy from InfoKrieg over the internet on Skype, and And so what I thought I'd do today is try, I've been working together with him. He gave me a fast link to his thing. I've since been seeding it on BitTorrent. He has just released 9/11 Chronicles Part 1, Truth Rising, German dub, just been released today. So if you know anyone that speaks German, or you can now get it from infokrieg.tv. And also, Alex previously wanted to plug Endgame, which he's also done a German dub of. And you'll also find, in the German language, the other guy at InfoKrieg standing up and speaking at a German university about, similar to the Money Masters, on that subject, lots of radio broadcasts or podcasts of similar to an Alex Jones show, but in German. So if you could...
And this is a revolution that is taking place of people all over the world taking action, getting involved, and it's not going away, and it really upsets the elite to have an intelligent movement against them instead of just some hired anarchist. That's why they hire anarchists. That doesn't mean all the anarchists, but they do hire anarchist groups to go stir up trouble so they can then demonize real dissent. Good to hear from you from Australia there. Let's go ahead and cram in another call here. Let's go ahead and talk to Coyote in Colorado. You're on the air, Coyote.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
You're doing a masterful job, my friend. It's Coyote, by the way.
All right. Well, we call them coyotes here in Texas.
Well, you know, a lot of people call them coyotes. But
hey, for you, Coyote.
Hey,
Wiley Coyote.
Like,
go ahead.
Anyway, a word in defense of Art Bell. You were probably listening to him back in the early mid-90s on WOAI. Out of San Antonio, about the same time I was listening to him here in Colorado on KNUS. And the very first show that came in October of 93, he was railing against the atrocities of Waco. Art Bell trumpeted the horrible misdeeds of...
No, he was great. It was like all anti-New World Order stuff. And then he had a bunch of the patriots on, who then stabbed him in the back and made stuff up about him, killing the goose that laid the golden eggs, and so he flipped on us. Good job. And it was always the same cast of characters, egomaniacs attacking him.
Same bunch with you. The difference.
Yeah, same bunch that attacks Jordan Maxwell, attacks
exactly.
Me. It's just what they do.
Exactly, and they've been doing it for 15, 20 years now. You know, the thing about Art, COINTELPRO, you know, was, well, to the average listener, at that time, we didn't really have the internet. Art succumbed to it. He allowed it to take his program. And unlike you, you know, Alex, you're a much stronger personality than Art was. He gave into it. You won't. The threats, you don't give in to any of that stuff. You know the nature of the beast.
Well,
you're
it's easy, Coyote. It's easy. I'm just committed, and I'm not stopping, and that's the end of it. So.
And, man, I tell you, I think it's great. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Well, thank you, Coyote. Anything else?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I could say hi to all the guys at the Prison Planet Forum.
All right. Great folks over there. Take care, my friend. Okay, let's go ahead now and take another call. Let's go to Walker in Washington. You're on the air, Walker.
Hi. My name is Pat. I'm about a six-month listener and first-time caller. I just want to say I have learned so much from you. Thank you so much for what you do. My thing that I really, really like to do to fight the New World Order is, to really get the media. I want them to know that we know.
Stay there. I want to hear about how you're going to get the media on the other side. My computer says Walker, but you're saying your name's Pat. So we'll go with that, Pat. Stay with us. And Peggy and Randy, then I'm going to have Aaron in studio with me. Stay with us.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-going dry. the interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
The global government, the eugenicists, want you to be dependent.
I live back in the woods.
Basically see. Captured.
A woman and the kids and the
so they can suck off your labor, so they can dumb you down, so they can euthanize you when they're done with you.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive.
It is the society of parasites. It is a society of sadistic psychopaths that run our planet. You want to beat the New World Order? Start loving your neighbor. Start getting involved. Start getting back to the planet, back to the earth. Start becoming self-sufficient. Start taking over your local governments. Instead of caring about who John McCain's VP is, there's other diversions and distractions. They do not want you to be self-sufficient. Just like Junior tells you right here, crank it up!
Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women born boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I think it's later. I do have some world news, economic news I want to go over.
But he was killed by
I have been so busy on air that I haven't even plugged Fabled Enemies properly today. This film just came out Monday. 7 years after 9/11, the supposed mastermind behind the attacks is still at large, and the nation is entrenched in multiple wars in the Middle East and Central Asia. Is Bin Laden behind the attack, or a mere frontman for a larger picture, a boogeyman? We are told we are fighting a war on terror and that the terrorists hate us for our freedoms. If that is the case, then why do our leaders take more and more of these freedoms away every day? And you can go watch the trailers at Infowars.com for Fabled Enemies. This is a film that you need to have in your library. It's $19.95 by itself. Get it with Loose Change Final Cut, and it's only $9.95. You can get it with Truth Rising, and it's only $9.95. You can get the Defeat the 9/11 Enemies DVD combo, Fabled Enemies, Truth Rising, and Loose Change Final Cut for $39.95. You save 20-something bucks on that one. All available at Infowars.com. And then your purchase makes this broadcast possible. Going to Aaron again in about 5 minutes. And I'm telling my IT guy that right now, because we'll go live at PrisonPlanet.tv for the balance of the radio show in about T-minus 5 minutes for PrisonPlanet.tv members. A bunch of extended behind-the-scenes footage that you won't find anywhere else in high definition and high quality is up on PrisonPlanet.tv today. Not just Fabled Enemies or Truth Rising or Endgame or Terror Storm. And the new films we're posting are in DivX format as well, not just Windows, not just Flash, not just QuickTime and high quality, but in DivX you can burn them right to CDs that will air on most new DVD players and computers. Talk about an activist tool. Buy a bunch of regular CDs and burn the film to them. CD costs like 20, 30 cents. Burn Fabled Enemies to that and ask people, do you have a DivX player? Do you have a computer? Here, watch this. And it's quality. PrisonPlanet.tv, ladies and gentlemen, get your membership today, $5.95 a month. Get a year membership, get 3 months free, but just go try the year membership. Go try the monthly membership. Or get the DVD at Infowars.com, Fabled Enemies, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. This gets into the intelligence networks, everything. Okay, I want to finish up with Pat, Peggy, Randy, Mike, Josh, and others. Let's go ahead and go back to Pat in Washington. Finish up, Pat.
Okay, quickly. I was one of those. I only woke up about 2 years ago, and I was one of those who absolutely believed I was a,
a news junkie. I was listening to the mainstream media. I thought I knew everything. I was the one that people at work would say, what's going on? And I'd tell them. But when I found out, I got mad. I got really angry. And I did a ton of research, which is why I had no problem believing you when I was sent your radio station. I listen online about 6 months ago by online buddy. Because I did so much research myself that came up with the same exact things that you talk about. And over the wide spectrum of the New World Order criminal cabal that are trying to run us. And so what I do is I listen carefully to the news, and then I'm right in their face with research that shows why they're wrong. I want them to know that the American public is not dumbed down, that we do know. And, Alex, I so applaud you, your group, your wife. She has got to be terrific to back you with all of this, and your children. I think what you do is awesome. You keep me motivated. Your videos are just terrific. I've just finished watching Truth Rising again for the third time. It's awesome. It is so good, and it gives me a whole different motivation of where to go from. I'm to the point with a local station that they actually went out and looked when I told them we were being chemtrailed. They finally believed me, and I'm working with that right now, hoping that that will lead into further seeds. I got a big kick out of your teaching the newbie yesterday about vaccines. I got a really big kick out of that. He'll learn. He'll do the research. He'll learn. He'll be around you. And just keep up the good work. You're so prayed for in this nation. There are so many of us. I do something every single day, minimally. Not nearly what you guys are doing, but I do something every single day. And all I have to do is look at my grandsons if I wonder why I should keep going. Okay?
Well, that's the answer, and you're awesome. I appreciate your call, Pat. Yeah, one big problem is that people expect that they're going to save the world by themselves, that they're going to fix everything by themselves. And then, well, why should I get involved then? Because I can't save the whole world. I can't get it all done myself. I can't find that magic silver bullet underneath a toadstool, you know, that a leprechaun gave me. I can't find that pot of gold, that unicorn, so I'm not going to get involved. No, it's everybody doing a little something. Now, let's take a few more calls. I want to get Aaron in here and go over just an overview of eugenics and just how serious the scientific dictatorship is and why its endgame is eugenics. But right now, let's go to Peggy in PA. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Alex. Based on some research I've been doing, I can see a goes across national lines, a social movement of mostly younger people and maybe middle-aged people. They're the people that show the what's called the devil sign, you know, with the two fingers pointed up. You see it all. You see politicians doing it.
Well, with most people, that means, hey, we're having a good time, we're rebellious, this is wild, or it means UT Longhorns. But yes, for those that know, it means we're in league with Satan.
Yeah, well, since Putin's advisor uses that, I've seen a photo of him using it, some country and western stars, a few rock stars, that kind of thing. When they use it for that meaning, you know, people in other countries that wouldn't use the Texas...
Well, in Russia and Italy, it means you're cursed by the devil.
Well, that's what it traditionally
means. Or people, if they think someone's cursing them, they put that sign back up.
Aware of that, but there seems to be a social movement with that as the symbol of recognition. Not necessarily a secret society, but they don't talk much about it. What do they call themselves? I can't do any further research on it.
I don't know about the social movement. I mean, there's rock and roll fans that do it, and to them it's just cute and funny, but it is about Satanism. That's been admitted. You've got other people that do it that just means they're having a good time.
Well, when it's used in Europe and so on and among some of the higher elites, it means that they're living for this world. They don't believe in God, but they're only a certain kind of person because certain people wouldn't. They don't do that, and I'm pretty aware of who's interested in that sort of thing, but they have to have a name they call themselves. They always do. I guess you could call it a secret society. It's an unofficial secret society, but you don't know the name of what they would call themselves?
Well, fellow travelers, Luciferians, Satanists.
What about the fellow travelers? That's
I don't know of a specific name to call people that are into rebellion for rebellion's sake and into doing as they will. I agree. It's people saying we're worldly, we're having a good time. Whether it's some satanic priest doing it, believing he's doing an invocation for power, or whether it's a topless chick at a rock concert on somebody's shoulders, she's saying, I'm rebellious, I'm having a good time. It means the same thing.
Well, the European elite, including in Russia and in other countries that use it, I think they use it as a symbol that they are free now from religion.
I agree with you, and I appreciate your call. You're asking me questions. It sounds like you know the answer. But then there's also an obsession with this. Ron Paul has really bad arthritis. There's a couple of shots of him waving at people where his middle fingers will kind of go down a bit. People say, oh my gosh, that's it. He's doing the devil sign. Or I was in a music video with Joe Rogan, my buddy Kevin Booth, who I met Bill Hicks through before I was even on the air, right before he died, down at Access TV in 1994, right before he died. People think I was friends with Bill Hicks. I was not friends with Bill Hicks. I met him a few times. But he said, hey, I want you to dress up like George Bush and show how they're satanic. So I dress up like George Bush, and I sit there and I do the devil sign. And people go, we found a secret video of Alex doing devil worship. No, that DVD was sold in stores. I put it on my websites where you found it. I love how we found something really secret here. It's from his radio show. We found something really secret here. It's Alex Jones drawing 666 on his body. No, it's 666 on a mask of Bush saying that they're into the occult and Bohemian Grove. But it doesn't matter. Again, anything to go after us or anything to go after Ron Paul. You judge a tree by its fruits, ladies and gentlemen. So if I'm wearing a George Bush Sr. devil mask doing the sign of Diablo, that is to note that they are into that and do the sign of Diablo. Okay? You can also buy that comedy DVD. It's still in stores. It's called Belly of the Beast with Joe Rogan, introduced by Alex Jones. That's the secret video that people found. Somebody sent it to me the other day, like, answer for this secret satanic ritual in front of the Capitol. Me dressed up like George Bush. So people also take it to an incredible extreme of ignorance. But certainly, there is a world satanic hierarchy in control. That's why we expose it. And again, even if you're an atheist, atheists say, well, why do you believe in God? The point is, the elite believe in it. They believe in it, whether you believe in it or not. We are, you know, from a view of anthropology, are looking at this and saying, why is the elite into the occult? Okay, Randy in Michigan, go ahead.
Alex, I agree with you on the Belly of the Beast thing. I actually saw that.
Oh, you saw the secret video? I've been caught now?
Belly of the Beast. Belly of the Beast.
Belly of the Beast. Belly of the Beast. Belly of the Beast. Yeah. Well, that's like people editing me saying, death, 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 death to America. I was saying the mercenaries are dancing over our grave singing the death of America. Well, when they're done with it, Alex Jones shocking behind the scenes, chanting death to America. Go ahead.
Yeah, those are people that jump to conclusions when they don't have half a brain. But I was going to...
Not exactly. We've had CENTCOM people who we've tracked back who are admitted CENTCOM put out videos where they say, I'm a Muslim, and people actually believe it. And it looks ridiculous to you or I, but it's designed for the dumbed down.
Right, exactly. And I was going to correct the listener that was on earlier. He said it was the aspartame, and that it's called phenylalanine and phenylketonurics. And anyways, that was just something I noticed earlier. But
death to America. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was wondering about the videos that I saw on YouTube. Actually, I think you were the first one to have it, or they have your voice on it. I'm not sure. It's the one about the caskets, in like 50,000 caskets, you know, on the camps and FEMA fenced-in areas.
That's more than 50,000 caskets. It's hundreds of thousands. Yeah, and FEMA admits they have crematoriums for mass disease outbreaks. They have mass caskets. It's all admitted. It's just everybody goes out to a site that's storing a bunch of them and freaks out and says, are these caskets? Yeah, they're plastic caskets.
Man, oh, man. And, like, yeah, because I've seen a guy walking around. There's one from a guy from Georgia, and he's like, you know, this is FEMA. Or here's some.
Yeah, and people love a mystery. That gets millions of views. And then mainline Rocky Mountain News about millions of plastic caskets and mass incinerators for thousands of dead bodies a day in Denver. It's kind of like, oh, it's no big deal.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Are they willing to, why would they put it in caskets if that's not efficient? It seems like they would do something like,
those are officially called casket body bag holders. Okay, so they put you in a body bag and they throw you in a plastic casket for transport, burial, or to burn you in the casket.
Oh, well, that's frightening, but thank you.
Look, your government loves you. Take vaccines. Drink plenty of city water with fluoride in it. Everything's fine. Don't listen to me, sir. Everything's fine.
Well, have a good day, though. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
You have a good day, too. What a horrid subject we're on. No, I mean, there's always all these mainstream articles, and no one ever wants to talk about those. It's always other things. Mike in Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Are you there? Don't discount your detractors, because it was a detractor that actually mentioned you to me, and I just did a little investigating, went on the internet, saw the movies, opened my eyes, and then I started buying the videos.
Oh, no. In fact, I almost don't want to let the secret out, but morally I do. The detractors think they're hurting us.
No, actually, it causes a little bit of an investigation there. You know, but
well, stay there. I'm going to come back after the break, final segment with calls, then we're going to go live with Aaron Dykes for 30 minutes, and then Paul Joseph Watson. I got a bunch of audio clips I want to play, too. I'll never get to all of it. Just 4 hours is not enough when I'm babbling. But the callers is bringing up so many great issues. In fact, I'm going to skip some breaks next hour because we're running out of time. You better get over to the InfoWars.com streams, folks. Yeah, when people attack me, mainstream news, alternative news, people from the Patriot Bowel Movement, it's always one way. I never say their name back. Just send me all the listeners. Send me all the viewers. Send them all right here, where we talk about real issues of significance that actually affect you and your family. Sticks and stones actually only make my bones stronger. That which does not kill you only makes you stronger, as Nietzsche said. I disagree with him on most things, but I agree with him on that. All right, let's go back to Mike in Jersey. Mike, or had I gotten to Josh? I forget. You know, it's Mike. Mike, go ahead.
So I'm going to go real quick because I know you're pressed for time and everything else. I've basically been doing my own little one-person crusade, even though there's a lot of us writing. My, you know, InfoWars.com on the bill is one of the listeners that suggested. Passing out the videotapes up and down the neighborhood.
Good.
I'm watching that. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about is with the eugenics. I remember many years ago when the AIDS crisis first hit, I remember saying it was a governmentally induced thing. And everybody, oh, you're crazy. Well, I guess now with the Bayer and F-18, et cetera, it's now proven that out. Back at the time, though, I did question, how come there were so many couples? One was positive, one remained negative. No one was ever able to answer that.
Well, that's because the virus is a cover for a whole class of eugenics, race-specific weapons, and it's actually in the BBC and London Telegraph today that it's race-specific. We already knew this from studies, but it's in the news that Nordics, it's almost impossible for blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordics to get it.
Well, I knew a lot of blonde-haired, blue-eyes that got it.
Well, I was about to add, but that they've looked at the blonde-haired, blue-eyes that can get it, and they've always are part of an area and have Roman genetics, and because even the smallest amount of African or Asian blood allows the virus to then bind to the receptor site on the cell. I mean, I have the study right. I mean, it's just a new one. But go ahead.
Well, the other thing too is like with the eugenics, and I tried sending you a message on MySpace. The other thing that really concerns me is the whole idea of a gay gene. I'm really fearful that down the road, and I know you're Christian and, you know, it's not part of your belief system and everything else, to each his own, that whole thing, you know, separation church and
Well,
state.
No, the Pentagon did study a, quote, gay bomb to spray troops with chemicals to make them have uncontrolled gay sex.
Yeah, well, I remember reading about that, and I was like, that's insane, because now they don't even want you in the military. But what concerns me, though, is now if you've got the eugenics, you're going to utilize fear to get this into the mainstream by basically telling families, well, you know, we could basically now go to the unborn fetus and make sure that we take out that, you know, that DNA gene. So this way, you know, you don't won't have a gay child. And most parents won't want a gay child, let's face it.
No, I agree. And it's all made up. They're already doing that. What are you talking about? They're already talking about going for intelligence and going for this and that. But it's so complex. You change one gene, it changes the expression of thousands of other combinations in genes. So, in fact, I was going to get to that later with the cloning of the beef we're eating, the cloning of dogs that are now breeding and having puppies. But here's the London Telegraph today. Britons may be more vulnerable to AIDS due to Roman invasion. And then it goes into Romans who interbred with Africans. And then if you read deeper into the studies, which have been out for 20 years, but this is a new one, yet they have studies with blacks who are less promiscuous than whites in large study groups who get it. So, yes, a Northern European can get it, but it's very, very hard. And the Northern Europeans they're finding that do get it have African blood. You understand about the Moors dominating Spain, dominating parts of Sicily into southern Italy? You're aware of that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, anything else, sir?
Basically, just keep on fighting it. I've got your banners on the car and everything else. So we're fighting the fight, and slowly but surely the word is getting out there.
You're awesome. God bless you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and it goes into it. Researchers found that people who live in lands conquered by the Roman army have less protection against HIV than those in countries they never reached because they're not pure white. For the rest of this fourth hour, we're going to be covering eugenics, coming up in 30 minutes, how the eugenicists are using the fake environmental movement to not deal with real environmental crises and problems that the elite is actually generating, like out-of-control cross-species genetic engineering, toxic waste dumping, things of that nature, but how they're bringing in this global carbon tax and how that fits in. So for about 10 minutes, coming up in a half hour, Paul's going to pop in with some new developments on that front with record cold weather. But I wanted to, before we get into eugenics, at the start of this live hour of video at PrisonPlanet.tv, every day during the fourth hour we go live, I wanted to draw a picture for listeners out there, a very simple, crude picture that describes effectively the false left-right paradigm. Now, in an earlier hour, I was describing how the Republican Party props up the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party props up the Republican Party. If you had one of the political parties standing on its own, when the wind came along, it would just fall over. When pressure, revolutionary pressure from the population, not liking what's going on, or new groups wanting the power structure, which is the main source of revolution. Most of it is driven by evil, just like the elite is driven by evil. Very rare to have an altruistic revolution. By itself, a single-party system will fall over. Okay? But if you take the two-party systems and you lean them up against each other, this is basically the arch. Their force going together keeps them together and makes it become a very strong, stable platform on which they can build their hierarchical New World Order system. Okay? So the current two-party system has been dominated and bought up and controlled by the elite that sits atop it. Now, the elite with a one-party system would not be balanced on top of one party. They would be subject to being toppled, being pushed over easily. But you put the two parties up against each other, they form a royal arch. And now it's very hard to separate those two because they're leaning up against each other. I'm running out of paper. Will somebody bring me another piece of paper? I mean, this is really simple, but I want to explain this to people. Here, I've got one right here. It's fine. Check it out, folks. Why do you see so many leftists like who mean well, like Rage Against the Machine, Tom Morello, or the guy we had on yesterday, Henry Rollins, who are right on so many issues but then believe in leftist policies? We need a global carbon tax. But there's an elite funding that. No, no, no. The elite, the big corporations are against it because the media advertises that big corporations and oil companies are against it. Henry Rollins doesn't know, doesn't have the documents. It doesn't understand that actually that's part of a sophisticated game that, oh, the big corporations say publicly, we don't want this, it's bad, while they actually fund it. They know that the public's awake to the fact that they're corrupt, so the public will be fooled and go and support the agenda. It's please don't throw me in the briar patch. It's the old briar rabbit situation. So that's basically what we're dealing with here. And so you've got both parties leaning into each other, supporting the other one. When we come back, I'll briefly finish this, and I promise we're getting into eugenics. It's just that the Republicans' criticism of the Democrats props them up. The Democratic criticism of the Republicans props them up. It's a very simple equation. I'm going to skip this break for InfoWars listeners. Because, you know, I got Aaron in here, and he's been sitting there for 20 minutes while I took calls and went into other subjects. And yes, your calls are coming up, too. But especially for the video viewers out there on PrisonPlanet.tv and all the members that rip this and put it all over the web, we appreciate that. Members just get it live and in higher quality. We're very thankful to PrisonPlanet.tv members. Let me go ahead and just explain this as simply as I can. Here's the political field, and this is where the population resides. And then we supposedly, through the grassroots, come up into the political party. Okay? And then they lean on each other, as I was saying earlier, and support each other. If they're standing alone, the pressure of revolution or of new power structures will easily topple it and blow it over. But leaning together, it's not going to fall down. Okay? Now, I know that's simple, but let me give you an everyday example of this. As I said, the left sees all of these evil mainline Republicans who we know are liars and who the media even exposes as being liars. They see them lying about everything else. So if the Republicans come out and say, we're against a global carbon tax, well, then by God, I'm for a global carbon tax. And so that's how the two sides leaning up against each other give the other side support. And so Democrats over here and Republicans over here, Republicans attack Barack Obama. And then the Democrats attack John McCain. And then the population who's down here is trained to see John McCain as representing them personally, as being their daddy, of where their personal power comes from, of their camp, their brand name, their brand of soda, their brand of automobile, Ford or Chevy. And so this is a controlled paradigm. And so we have Republicans attacking Democrats, and that's the force against them. And you have Democrats attacking Republicans, and that's the force against them. And really, it's one unit supporting themselves and containing revolution so that the people who were down here never learn that there is a world outside of this controlled paradigm. We are locked within the left-right paradigm. And then it becomes this huge pageant, this huge distraction where we analyze every facet of the two political parties, never realizing they themselves are simply a front or puppets for a larger power structure. Now, this is incredibly simple, but that's how this works. And then the two parties can limit the issues that are debated to this controlled paradigm. They can limit the scope of differences, which, if you look at it, there's almost no difference between the two instead of getting the people to look outside the box at the wider world. Okay, we're going back live. Here we go.
It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, for the rest of the hour, Aaron Dykes is with us. We did a four-part series almost a year ago on eugenics, the history of it, how it formed, how it started, up until the modern time. But I thought, why not drag Aaron back in today to just give a basic overview instead of you meticulously going through all the facts, the diagrams, the documents? We'll cover some of those. They're covered in Endgame. There's a bibliography online for the film Endgame. What is the Endgame.com or EndgameTheMovie.com? For folks out there, you can see a lot of this there on the site or get the DVD and see it. But Aaron, I wanted to go over with you today, just basically your view on eugenics and the scientific dictatorship, because during a break, I was briefly talking about the scientific dictatorship in the first hour. I spent about 30 minutes on it, and you're like, I can't believe more hosts don't talk about the scientific dictatorship. I can't believe more people aren't aware of the scientific dictatorship, because it really is the key to everything, understanding the elite. So from now until the next segment, give people a basic historical rundown, what we're dealing with, the elitist mindset, how eugenics tied in perfectly with the mindset that elites and royals already had of themselves being a different breed, like going back to Plato believed, engineering, breeding the population. Break it down for us, just a basic overview today, because this really is what governs our entire planet, and it deserves more discussion.
Well, eugenics, by definition, was the whole movement to control human breeding according to supposedly scientifically crafted elite minds. And it fits in perfectly well with the way world government and control of societies in the 20th century took place, too. It's all about engineered society, engineered populations. And the whole idea is that the general public cannot see above the threshold to make proper decisions, so they have to be made for us.
And again, we see that at every level of left to right control paradigm. They're always trying to shorten the horizon, bring in the blinders, bring people into a very small, looking at the world through a straw instead of in a big panoramic view, limiting the data, limiting the terms to where people stay in their party, stay in their racial groups, stay in their regional groups, and then they can play us off against each other using basic psychology.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you put it that way, actually, because from Edward Bernays to Carol Quigley, all the way up to Ray Kurzweil in the modern day, and also Brzezinski in the 70s, they've all used the same basic metaphor of shrinking time and space throughout the 20th century being the reason we have to have this world government. The reason,
and that's
we
what Orwell says. He says we're going to destroy the language, shrink it down, limit its use to where you can't physically communicate with people.
And due to planes, trains, automobiles, instant communication, we couldn't possibly escape, world political control. We can't possibly escape total domination. And it's just disgusting because everything they've engineered has turned out to be a fraud, a hoax, or just otherwise malignant. I mean, everything they've scientifically engineered has only brought us down, really. While it may be genius in a pure research sense, it really hasn't helped human beings as a whole.
Well, I mean, it's a religion of greediness and control and domination, taking control of the species.
Which is fair enough to argue may be human nature, but the whole eugenics is built on Darwin.
Well, they also say it's human nature for us to be evil and greedy, so we're going to fully embrace it. And that's why we're so strong. You're weak. You have these moral conventions.
But it's wrong from the basis. I mean, if that's human nature based on evolution, then human steering, human evolution is never going to craft a better human. I mean, if they really wanted to improve the human race, it would be freedom.
But that's not what they're doing, because when you read into their deeper documents, that they sell the lower eugenicist on making a better society. They really admit it's about dumbing down their competition.
Yeah, certainly. And you could see that in the parable of Huxley's Brave New World. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Continue.
Yeah, I mean, going along with the engineered society, I think propaganda kind of parallels the eugenics thing as well. Edward Bernays talked about regimenting the public mind every bit as much as an army regiments their bodies, and that's the same thing they wanted to do. They wanted to regiment human breeding with eugenics. But it's all about society control. I mean, we had to look at this in the 20th century panorama overview.
And that's why the elites are in control. They're into engineering things. They're into master planning, and they're master planning your minds. And by you being taught to deny that, It's like a child, you know, denying that walking out in the street can get him killed. You deny your personal power and your destiny to be involved in the direction of the planetary development.
Yeah, I agree.
Continue. You've got a lot of quotes and articles there.
Well, one of the things I hadn't discovered at the time of the making of Endgame, which is when I got into reading all this stuff, I know a lot of our listeners have known about this for a long time, is what a great example H.G. Wells is of both the quest for world government and eugenics. And he was, of course, a protege of the Darwin and Galton family. He was trained by them in England, and then he went on to train several of their kids. And he was one of the most extreme eugenicists, many people have said more so than Hitler. He wanted to wipe out all diseased people. He was completely anti-Semitic in the sense that he wanted to wipe out the Jewish race. And, I mean, the parallels go on from there, but he's just, in the name of crafting a utopia, it's just detrimental to human
nature. Well, let's be clear. Then H.G. Wells is actually embraced by the Zionists and many others because they admire the model of eugenics. They just think they are – all these groups think they are the God-man. They all think – you know, the black liberation folks think they're the God-man. The Zionists think they're the God-man. The Nazis think they're the God-man. Continue.
Yeah, but it's really this – it's just domination by elites at the end of the day. Just as in propaganda, we're controlled by an elite at the top. Now we're supposed to have science crafting us and steering human breeding. It's just disgusting. It's a separation of the species, as they write about.
Well, and they're also teaching us that we don't have free will, which we clearly do. And you know, our, quote, higher you know, mindset or, you know, spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, the higher attributes of man versus the more bestial and low. But they tell us every day and every, you know, everywhere, men's fidelity controlled by cheating genetics. Well, I mean, they claim gambling's genetic. No, it's somebody who gets into the risk-taking and who wasn't taught that was dangerous and who didn't stay away from it. So they tell parents, don't try to keep your kids away from gambling, or don't tell them that cheating's wrong because it'll ruin your children's lives. Just say it's okay and it's my genetics, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, well, gambling, just like all the rest of this, is playing into a controlled paradigm, which is what I'm most offended by, really. It's the manipulation, going into a situation thinking you have free will and an equal shot when it's really rigged stakes. It's the odds are rigged.
Again, we get back to that. Go ahead.
I think it's a controlled paradigm.
You've got hundreds of articles there you printed off. I mean, just your overall view on this, what you've discovered. We were talking behind the scenes about how real this is, how this is all the elite talks about continually. This is the real world, and the general public isn't even aware of it.
Well, I think in the larger scheme, eugenics came through Malthus and then later through the Darwins, and I think that was partially paralleled with the Industrial Revolution displacing the value of human labor. You know, dehumanizing humans itself. And I think the new revolution...
And making humans a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, debasing us down to just raw material so the elites morally could feel good about what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, these are competing ideologies. Why do the Darwinists seek to discredit and destroy Christianity? I'm not weighing in on the debate. I'm saying, why do they seek? Because they are overthrowing an existing religion. Why does Scientology seek to overthrow psychiatry? Because they are seeking to overthrow that religion, and it is a religion. Both of them are. So you always have the new in a revolutionary way trying to overthrow the old.
Well, I think that's true, but I think in terms of the human pyramid, just as the Industrial Revolution displaced human labor, Bertrand Russell talks about that and the impact of science on society. Today, with the technological revolutions and the information revolutions, it's an even greater displacement of human value.
And they say this over and over again. They say, whereas before life was cheap and blood was cheap, now you're a liability. Now we want to get rid of you. They've been having this debate for 80 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's why in the Kurzweil paradigm and his other contemporaries, it's this discussion of, well, should we, you know, politely sort of maintain the human population or just wipe them out altogether?
And by the way, these guys run the planet, and then you try to tell the mind-controlled public, they drool at you and laugh, because that's scary, that there's this big technocratic technocracy putting cancer viruses in your vaccines, and you're giggling and laughing as every cancer goes up thousands of percentage points. I mean, this isn't a game, folks. This isn't a joke. They're killing us right now.
Well, they've invested in this program, so there's no way they could pull out. The elites themselves are...
The whole structure is built around it.
Yeah, they're psychologically built.
The British royalty got behind this 150 years ago, and that's it.
And they believe time and space are concentrating and that human genocide is basically inevitable.
That's it. They believe everything's accelerating, and if they don't cold-bloodedly kill the majority of us, that we're going to destroy ourselves. Meanwhile, they hand out nukes to Pakistan. They hand out the mousepox design to kill every mammal on Earth. They cross-species splice everything. They are... It's like they're devils. They're busy destroying everything, and then they offer the solution as it's all being destroyed.
Yeah, and in a geopolitical sense, it's a policy of tension. There's so many distractions.
Well, they say that. They say somebody's going to destroy it, so we'll destroy things so we're in control of the process. Go ahead.
Yeah, it keeps us distracted from the real issues, too, because we think we're fighting AIDS, the isolated human epidemic, when it turns out that it's steered by science. All these...
And it's about institutionalizing AIDS and covering it up and beta testing a soft kill AIDS when they're getting ready to release a much worse AIDS.
But I think it's also about how the system has to design new problems. Huxley talks about iatric diseases caused by doctors. We've cured a few diseases over the ages, but only by subjecting all of society to more diseases. And the more intervention they do, the more problems we have.
And they're contagious, so they've got to build a social control grid in the name of stopping other communicable diseases from third world populations, so then they can get us more herded into compact systems so they can release the more destructive controlled weapons.
Right, it's about being herded into the compact system. Just like with politics, freedom is really a better solution, but they want to have us herded together.
All right, I'm going to skip this break for Infowars.com. Audio stream listeners will be the only ones that can hear it. Everybody else will be back in 4 minutes. Yeah, I want to draw another picture of that for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, if you guys can punch that up for me. So, there we go. Okay, check this out. Now, earlier I explained how one political party is clearly the power structure, and the people can rebel against it and bring it down, destroy it, and replace it. Doesn't mean that necessarily what it's replaced with will be better, okay? But if they can control a nation, the true elite, by putting puppet governments or parliaments with different power structures in front where they've bought off and control the leaders of all the groups or maybe three of the groups, then if this guy gets too powerful, they can have these groups gang up on this guy. Okay, so that's another structure. I mean, I'm simplifying all of this, but earlier I was describing how a one-party system will fall over on its own, but if you have two parties leaning up against each other, the pressure of the two forces coming together will make it very, very sturdy and very, very strong and hard to bring down. Also, by controlling the two parties in the left-right system, then the people will put all of their energy into trying to affect the two columns that are joined and are operating under the control of the outside elite that is controlling the contained paradigm. All I'm saying is, folks, you need to get out of this control paradigm. It doesn't mean listen to me. It doesn't mean believe me. It doesn't mean any of that. It means start looking outside the box. Start pulling back. Start connecting the dots. Don't be too close to the problem. You're right here. You need to get over here. And you don't just need to be looking over here or looking over here or looking over here at what I said. Look at whatever you want. Look in all directions. Walk off the page. You can decide to be a little person. Here, I'll draw a little person. Same. You can decide to be a little person, and instead of being in this control paradigm right here, you can just march off and you can go investigate or look at whatever you want. The point is, there is no doubt, and more Americans know, with Congress with a 9% approval rating, that's 9%. People now know this is a fraud. They know it's bull. But, you know, that's why the elite didn't care before. They'd give you two old white guys and act like they ran it and let people fight over which old white guy was going to run things to make people think that, you know, the power ended with those presidents or prime ministers. Well, now they know that people are getting away from the process, and they keep saying about Barack Obama and now about Sarah Palin. Oh, they're new. They're fresh. It's a woman. She's unexperienced. Oh, it's a black guy. He's unexperienced. But at least it's change. You'll see, but change on the surface. They could be green-skinned, purple-skinned. They're puppets. They're not running anything, so it doesn't matter. And I know you know that, but the general public is not aware of this fully. And all you see from the power structure is an attempt to suck people back into the false paradigm, back into the blinders, back into not looking outside the two parties where we can get real solutions, take over our local governments, have a revolution of understanding, and stop trusting the corrupt people that are running our society. Let's go back to eugenics. Did you get any quotes? Because I know you had a lot of quotes. I wanted to cover quotes. I mean, I know I told you just a little bit before we went on air here.
Yeah, I don't have a very good source of quotes in front of me.
Well, people can refer back on the archives to the first four eugenics pieces we did. Here we go. You know, Aaron, I want to do a show in the next few weeks. I can pull these, too. There's sites with thousands of them. But we sent off to the libraries and to... where are all those big boxes of eugenics books and documents we got?
Most of it's in there.
Why don't you go get that? I want to show people the research on TV. Because, you know, we did off and on a year of research. We'd done all this other research before. I have. But we went back. And if we saw a Margaret Sanger quote online about black people being weeds, she wanted to kill all of them, you know, to the Colgate Foundation or whatever, we would go and send off to university and get Xerox copies of the official letter. And then we had so much evil that we didn't even put that in the film, Endgame. I mean, you know, that's the level of this stuff. It's like yesterday, I had one of my new IT guys in here, Paul Hartman, and he's like, yeah, my wife didn't believe me about the vaccines. And I said, well, you know, they're putting AIDS in over a million ampules of factor VIII blood product. And he just started shaking his head like, and I said, oh, let's just go to, I just typed it in and pulled up MSNBC, and they admitted it. Here, let me see that. Show Aaron right now, guys. Look at this. Let me see that. Now this is just some of the research, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this. This is just some of the eugenic stuff. And this is letters about how they're going to kill us.
Not that one.
That's Final Cut Studio stuff. Okay, all the others are. I mean, this is just, each one of these is completely population control, eugenics, present, future. See that? And then it just goes through that.
Well, this one may be quotes.
Yeah. Quotes. Okay, you wanted eugenics quotes? There is a giant folder on quotes. You want Margaret Sanger letters. Here, let's see what's in here. I mean, the amount of work that we went into on this film, how they're using the fake global warming movement, Rothschild quotes about how they're going to control us. I mean, this type of research we do, and then you can't even, it's like you get the knowledge, and then you can't even cover it all. God, the amount of work we did on that film, it just blows me away. It's like 20 films. Transhumanism quotes about how they're going to kill all of us, and their own books, and how they only want us to have a one-child policy. I mean, it's all right here. It just go. Aaron, any comments on all this?
You know, we try to cover as much as we could. There's a lot of books and stuff you don't see here, too. And even more stuff that we just read online and cross-reference.
That's right. We had some ghostwriter author, and then he didn't finish the project, and he ran off with like 10 books. I mean, we need to get him to give us our books back.
Yeah.
I don't know why he got paid for not doing the work and then ran off with our books. This whole country's falling apart. Oh, my God. Anyways, keep going.
Well, I think it's key that Nazi Germany is the country that ran away with eugenics, and they're also the country that was most statist, most centralized. And they're the ones who went too far with everything.
Well, when the government gets its shot, what do? With foster children, 68% national average on more than one psychotropic drug. I mean, everywhere they have a controlled group, what do you get? You get hell on earth. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just eugenics is part of state control. I mean, the United States also centralized everything it did under FDR. And I've been perusing some various propaganda films. And just to reiterate the point ad nauseum, you see how they controlled workers' groups, how they controlled universities, how they controlled this particular sector of industry, this particular sector of industry, all behind the war effort. But it's still all... it's centralization and control, and it's Nazi Germany who instituted marriage licenses, an idea that came from the U.S. and England. It's Nazi Germany who wanted to approve breeding for the elite and then liquidate the underclasses.
You know what I just ran into here? And then the Nuremberg defense was they learned this all from the U.S. and England. We just ran into the secret FEMA documents from the pastors. We never put that in the film. About the clergy response teams. Just ran into that again. Go ahead. There's no way to cover it all. Keep going.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything you saw in Nazi Germany, the concentration camps. Concentration camps were invented by the British during the Boer War, which is just goes
well,
back
that's
to the
popular invention. They were actually used here in the war, you know, against the independent colonies. But.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Andrew Jackson's family.
Well, died. I guess nothing was invented, really, in history.
Well, no, you're right. The official, when they were first calling concentration camps, was in the Boer War.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I think eugenics was a movement to steer the world into centralized control, and it's just concentration of breeding. I don't know what else to say about it.
Stay with us when Paul Watson comes on, because... You know, how are they going to sell us on eugenics? They can't call it eugenics. They can't call it Nazism. They can't call it communism. All their other isms that the bankers use to push this social engineering have been discredited. They have a new term, environmentalism. Stay with us. But we're going to skip this break. Aaron, keep talking. Other points you want to cover while we get Paul Watson on.
One point I wanted to cover on your drawing you see there, which is kind of a policy of tension. You have the pillar of the Republicans leaning against the pillar of Democrats.
Divide and conquer, yeah.
Basically just like a mirror, just bouncing back energy, back and forth, dissipating energy from the masses. Well, it's kind of like...
No, that's it. It's a curtain. It shields them. You know, they have this little play going on, you know, where the two groups run by the same people, dissipate all the energy, yeah.
Right, yeah. And it's a lot like what Huxley was talking about how you could control the masses militarily through terror and force, or you could control them with psychology. Well, this is just a simple ruse to eliminate, you know, 80-90% of the energy from any debate about anything political.
And speaking about energy, real physical energy, this is a way to restrict our energy, restrict our free market, let government bureaucrats take over every facet of society, because energy output is killing the earth. Humans are bad.
Yep, that's an interesting parallel there.
But before they put it into scientific nomenclature, it was the kings are descended from God, the peasants are short and dumb, not because they've been starving for 100 generations, but because they're scum.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of the elite's drive, is that they believe they're the ones with this knowledge, and just like the Prometheus myth where man takes fire from the gods, they're trying to replace the idea with gods with themselves. They're the new gods.
And they know there's a cycle. They say over and over again, they don't want us getting the fire. It's like they're the gods. They don't want us to get the fire of technology. So they're going to fluoride you. They're going to hit you with some mercury. Oh, you know, you stop taking the shots, we're going to put it in the air. We're going to put it in the food.
Yeah, it's really frightening. And
that's why they're in control, though, because they care about control. They care about domination.
Well, that is why they have the curtain set up, the smoke and mirror system, because if we could just see their node of power back there, I mean, it's still tens of thousands, but it's nothing compared to the masses of humanity. I mean, we could definitely physically outmaneuver them, and we could outthink them,
but
too.
But they told us they don't exist. It's like they project a rock wall up, and the people have been taught, there was never an elite in history. There was never a corrupt force. We don't need to be involved in society. We don't need to stand up to poison in our food or bad stuff. Everything's. But then we finally wake up to poison in our food, and they say, yeah, you're dying because of the environment. Meanwhile, they're doing it by design. I mean, they are some slick bastards, man. Imagine having no morals, no qualms, you know, totally ruthless and unlimited funds. But because it's so dastardly, we have a chance of beating them. What are you doing, Aaron?
I wanted to get this folder on the very bottom. See if there's some good
I'm gonna bring Watson in. Why don't you take these out?
Great.
Put them back on their nest, wherever that is. This is only a small amount of the stuff around here, ladies and gentlemen. Documentation. But again, I mean, I've had liberals go, Margaret Sanger's bad.
thought she was loving. I've had black people. Margaret Sanger. I was taught she loved me.
Oh, she wants you to have the right to, quote, go to any school you want so you can get your deadly injections. And I'm not weighing in on segregation. The point is, these are some sick bastards, folks, and they believe in what they're doing. Do we have Paul Watson?
He's all set and ready.
Here we go. Okay, we're back live. Paul Watson joins us. He had a story today up on PrisonPlanet.com. Global cooling, unprecedented ice storms in Kenya. All the major governmental 10-year weather stations report record cold in the last 10 years. And if it continues, it's going to be one of the coldest decades coming up on record. The sun was the hottest it's ever been recorded in 200-plus years, with the most sunspots. And the spots, just an explosion on the sun, sending out different types of radiation at the planet and out into space. Now there are no spots for the first time ever. No spots, meaning really cold weather's coming. And it'll take a few years to get here, but boy, we're going to be freezing our butts off. They've already shifted gears, the globalists, and they're saying it's now global cooling. Got to ban carbon dioxide. That means tax you. They're not going to really ban it. License it. A license is an authorization to do something that would be illegal. And this is their eugenics control grid, and they state it's that. To keep your energy usage down, to control you, to regulate you, to make you a third world slave. So you have to be under government control and government health care for eugenics. You think it's free health care? No, it's a eugenics hospital complex that is going to have their way with you. They're also shutting down the farms and ranches under the animal ID, premises ID. They're going for broke, the social engineers, right now. Paul Watson, thanks for coming on with us.
Good to be back, Alex.
Tell us what's going on with the weather.
Well, what's going on with the weather is the fact that there has been no global warming since 1998, and now they admit that there will be no global warming over the next 10 years. And the consequences in the rapid decrease of solar activity are beginning to be felt across the globe.
And again, we had the entire solar system for the last 25 years with probes and telescopes, liquid, hard frozen moons of Jupiter and Saturn are now liquid seas of methane and things like that. They're not H2O, unfortunately. But the point is we have volcanoes going off on Mars, ice caps shrinking by a mile a year on Mars. And what is, what are the global warming people say? They just say, nope, Saturn and Jupiter are closer to the sun than Earth. They say, nope, there are no ice caps on Mars. Of course, there are, but they know the public are dumbed down.
Well, the fact is, Alex, that according to all the polls, even though this global warming propaganda is going out at all levels on an incessant basis, people aren't buying it. The polls show that people are at best apathetic to it all, and certainly in America, the majority just aren't buying it. So the man-made global warming advocates are beginning to make more and more shrill and alarmist claims, and then coming in with more wilder solutions.
Now, let me explain how this works. I was explaining earlier how if you have one political party, it's easy to topple it. It can be pushed over. But if you have two big political parties or two supposedly different ideas leaned up against each other, that it gives the illusion of choice. They push together, and it makes them very hard to push over. Well, it's the same thing. You've got the European Union, and you've got the U.S. in this false bipolar world. It's really controlled by the same banking elite. And they would say, look at the Americans, they're for torture. Look at the Americans, they're for secret arrest. Look at the Americans, they're for attacking innocent countries. They lie about WMDs, and they're ignorant. They don't believe in global warming. And so because the Americans were wrong on all these other things by design, well, I'm not an ignorant American. I'll go ahead and support global warming, global tax. Those greedy Americans are too wasteful and pig-like. Well, that is true, that we're wasteful, pig-like SUVs. Doesn't mean we aren't wasting and doing some things that are bad and consumerist. So there's that idea in Europe. They don't see that it's about a tax and control. And so because George Bush was against it, they got behind it. As soon as Europe got behind it, Bush came out for it. And then we saw Pat Robertson go out on TV and say, it's of the Lord, global tax. Jesus says, do it. So again, another example how they play two sides off against each other that are really connected and run by the same group. Paul Watson, go ahead.
Yeah, precisely. And then if you speak out against man-made global warming propaganda, then you're called a tool of the oil companies. Well, go and take a look at who is actually promoting man-made global warming, and you will find that oil executives and people like British Petroleum's Peter Sutherland, the head there, are out meeting secretly and talking about pushing this false fear-mongering of global warming, and they're the ones doing it. And the end result is that, you know, the people on the left just don't look into who's pushing it, and they just think it's this neocon lie to say anything against it. But the dangerous thing now is that with the wilder claims, they're coming up with wilder solutions, which is what I wrote about on Monday, one of which is, there was an article out of The Guardian called Geoengineering, the Radical Ideas to Combat Climate Change. And now, they're not just talking about this, because they've been doing it, and they've been doing it.
They say, we could spray the clouds. Turns out, these little buggers have actually been trying to heat things up.
Yeah, and they've been doing it at the U.S. Department of Energy's Savannah River National Laboratory in South Carolina, conducting tests of spraying sulfur dioxide into the upper atmosphere.
We need a big report about, you know, chemtrails exposed. This has been out for 6 months, Paul. Still no story. I want a detailed story tomorrow, if you can do it, about how they are chemtrailing, how every major research institute in the world is involved.
Yeah, and I mean, 20 years ago, we were all being told that the big environmental danger was something called acid rain, which was caused in part by factory and industrial emissions. And, Alex, what's the main component of acid rain?
Sulfur.
Sulfur dioxide. And this is what they're saying they will go up and spray into the upper atmosphere.
And aluminum oxide and barium. Everything the chemtrail researchers told us. I'm not kidding, folks. Thousands of U.S. universities, Canadian, British, every federal agency. And this is all declassified. They call it high-altitude aerial spraying, aerosol spraying. What's the name of the one program? You Google it, and there's like millions of hits. And it's all it's our planes will be up this weekend spraying, but that's secret. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Exactly, and it's being pushed by people like Nobel Prize winner Paul Crutzen, who proposed sending jumbo jets up to dump huge quantities of sulfur particles into the far reaches of the stratosphere to cool down the atmosphere.
And it turns out he did that in the late 80s, early 90s, and then he magically wins a Nobel Prize, and then the spraying starts, added to the fuel so the pilots don't know. All compartmentalized.
And what are the health effects of exposure to sulfur dioxide? Neurological effects and behavioral changes, disturbance of blood circulation, heart damage, reproductive failure, damage to immune systems, and there's a list that goes on and on.
All of their favorites. All of their faves.
Very tasty.
But it's for the earth, Paul. It's for the earth. It's saving us.
Even though it causes, quote, substantial damage to the natural environment, according to the New Scientist. So this is what they want, to damage the environment to save the environment.
And the new thing is cut down all the trees because they create CO2.
Oh, yeah, trees are evil. They want to cut down beautiful, pristine, old-growth forests because as trees age, they start to take in less carbon dioxide and give it off.
Now, again, scientifically, they know from psychology, and they say this, they say outrageous things to just shock you into going, fine. Yeah, I mean, that's why they come out with this and say, yes, we torture small children. It's the American way. That's meant to just shock the conscience till you finally just go, okay, fine.
Right, which is now why the Prince Philip's World Wildlife Fund is saying that CO2 not only causes global warming, but it also causes global cooling, which is why whatever happens with the weather, and whether there's an earthquake or a hurricane or whatever, what happens with the weather, it's all related to human-caused emissions, so humans are the problem.
And again, this goes back to 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. Witch doctors saying, give us control of society, give us the best huts, the best temples, the best food, the best women, or the goblin god will eat the sun. Well, the priests were just marking down when there was going to be an eclipse. They knew what it was. The general public didn't. And so now it's suddenly global cooling, and they have at a bunch of stores in Austin. I was at a steakhouse in Denver, and it stunk because they have no flush toilets in the steakhouse. They had special parking spots for low-emission cars. Again, Japan, England, the U.S. want to have stickers on the car that you have to have showing your carbon emission, like yellow stars. I mean, this is social engineering, folks.
It is.
Tell folks, in fact, I forgot to air it. Get that together about the bin police. Mainstream news in England reporting it like it's good. Tattle on your neighbors. See what they're doing. But see, after they get you done spying over trash, then it's what is your neighbor's political views. They always start it with something innocuous on spying, and then it moves on to everything else. Do you have that clip from yesterday? John? John, are you there? John, okay, do you have the clip from yesterday? I want to play the rainwater clip. I may go into overdrive today. Do you have the clip about the trash can secret police?
Oh, the neighborhood watch. Yeah, I'll pull it up.
Okay, pull it up and tell me when you got it. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, we were talking about geoengineering and these radical solutions to solve a problem which doesn't exist, you know. Climate change has happened throughout the eons, whether it's heating or cooling, and humans have had very little to do with it in every case. But now, I wrote an article on Monday, which I had to read it very carefully to make sure that what I was reading was actually true, and it was there in the article. But they're now proposing, and this is out of Stanford University, a guy called Professor Stephen Schneider. That's a cost of $100 billion a year to the taxpayer. They're proposing to send out a fleet of spaceships and literally park them between the Earth and the sun to form a giant artificial cloud to block out the sun. And this is in the Guardian article that I referenced earlier, Geoengineering, the Radical Ideas to Combat Climate Change. And the quote out of it is, scientists have suggested launching a constellation of free-flying craft that would sit between the sun and the Earth, forming a cylindrical cloud around half the Earth's diameter and 10 times longer. And this, they say, is to block out 2% of sunlight hitting the Earth.
But I thought they said the sun, Al Gore said, had nothing to do with heating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They will say that the sun has little to do with climate change and that it's CO2 emissions. But all these programs of geoengineering are based around blocking out the sun.
And it all goes back to them playing God. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess that giant blazing ball of light in the sky has got something to do with climate change.
Okay, let's play. I agree. Let's play a few of these clips. We don't have time to play it all, but here's one clip about the tattletale squads. We now have these here in the U.S. as well. Here it is.
Are you naturally nosy? Do you consider yourself to be a snooper, someone who likes to know what's going on in their street? Then you're wanted, but not for a crime. To uncover those close by who are not as environmentally minded as authorities think they could be. Adverts looking for so-called environment volunteers have been springing up around the country. The resident recruitment drive by councils is for those willing to report anyone who drops litter, fails to recycle rubbish properly, or allows their dogs to foul the streets.
All right.
Critics say it's...
And then you also have adverts in every major paper in England for kids to spy on their parents, fill out dossiers on them. You wear red and black uniforms. You're called climate cops. They're going to set that up here as well. They're building the whole Homeland Security apparatus. It's then going to be shifted into every one of you will have a caseworker who visits you weekly. This has all been announced. This will happen. I mean, I'm sorry, you're not coming to my house, you dirty bastards. Stay out of my life. Every control freak, nobody who could ever do anything in their life could never make it. you know, controlling the arts and entertainment, just like East Germany. I mean, it is just going to be hellish. Now, here's another clip out of Utah telling you you can't collect rainwater, and then making it sound reasonable at the end of the newscast. Here it is.
Who owns the rain? Turns out, not you. You're actually breaking the law if you try to capture rain falling onto your roof and poured on your flower bed.
A prominent Utah car dealer found that out when he tried to do something good for the environment.
Okay, John stop Oliver, right there. It's up on Infowars.com and PresentPlanet.com if you want to see it. But the bottom line is it's the same sales tactic. We're doing this for your own good. We're doing this for the earth. He was doing it for the environment, but it wasn't good enough. And at the end, he submitted to them, and they just explained that the government owns you. You know, that's why T. Boone Pickens is grabbing all those area for wind power. It's about the water under it, and it's a big scam. But he tells you it's for the environment, you'll go for it. Paul Watson.
Well, yeah, now you've got a situation in Britain, which I talked about last time I was on about this, where a guy allegedly, I stress allegedly, because he claims he didn't, but maybe he did, maybe he's evil, allegedly dropped an apple core when he was walking down the street, and he was subsequently pursued by environmental snoops who then called the regular police. He was handcuffed, arrested, and kept in a cell for about 12 hours.
Yeah, this is total tyranny, and if you say the word homosexual, you're arrested in England, BBC reported. Again, hardcore super tyranny in your face. Go ahead, Paul.
And there was another case where a woman and a young child had bought a sausage roll from a food stand, and the mother was feeding it to her daughter, and a tiny piece of the pastry dropped on the floor, and immediately pigeons swooped down and ate it up. But it was, this crime was spotted by an eagle-eyed environmental crimes unit official who came running across the street and demanded the authority to fine this woman for dropping a tiny piece of pastry on the street.
Now again, they're creating the Stasi force out of environmental wackos who don't care about cross-species, genetic engineering, GMO, you know, real crises. It's about maximum enforcement on the general public. You think it's bad with cops everywhere writing you tickets now? You know, 10 times what it was decades ago, it's going to get hundreds of times worse. Every control freak, nobody in your face. We're going to talk behind the scenes in a minute, Paul, for the Infowars.com audio streams. Before we end this segment, come back in a final segment with Aaron with some eugenics quotes that he didn't have in here earlier. I wanted to tell people about Ecolo Blue. They tell you you can't have the water. They tell you that you can't collect rainwater. They tell you, you know what, it's totally legal. And even if it was, they can go to Hades. To go to EcoloBlue.com, E-C-O-L-O Blue, there's a big banner up on Infowars.com, EcoloBlue.com, get 7.5 gallons a day out of the atmosphere, out of the air in your own home or out on your porch, and it makes 7.5 gallons, no sodium fluoride, them forcefully medicating you with a chemical weapon, none of that. Give them a call, 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. 4044, EcoloBlue.com, 866-585-4044, EcoloBlue. You know what? I'll take rainwater out of the sky if I want. You know something? You better drill your wells now. Even in Texas, they're trying to ban having your own well. It'll be grandfathered in. They're coming. The scum. There's no jobs left in America. There's only cop and enforcer and bureaucratic jobs. They're going to go from 3 million cops to 10 million. They've announced it. They're going to run your life. It's going to get bad, folks. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing.
Terror storm.
All right, let me go to Paul. Paul, you got 3 minutes. Any other topics you want to cover?
I was going to add to that the fact that if you get a cadre of people who pick on innocent people for supposed crimes, then that only increases the real crime rate. There was a story today about a running street battle between Asian and black gangs in London, and this wasn't some, you know, hellhole. It was a posh area of London, and they had a running street battle for 20 minutes. With no police showing up whatsoever. So you read stories about that, and then you read stories about mothers getting harassed and fined for dropping a piece of pastry on the floor by these environmental crime squads.
Well, police files have been released. One time when the Chicago police chief slipped up. When real stuff happens, the cops cower and protect themselves. But if it's beating up an old woman, they're going to be there on the spot because that's easy. See, the fat cattle, that's us, are to be bled and sucked off of, not the criminal element.
That's right, and it's only going to increase when they devote more police time to more inane and stupid things that only target innocent people, such as, in this country at the moment, knife crime. There was a media scaremongering campaign about the increase in knife crime and people being stabbed. So what did the government do? They banned knives, and now you get 3 years in jail simply for possessing a knife, you know, if you're not in your own house. What effect is that going to have? Well, it means that anybody who wants to defend themselves against knife crime is not going to be able to carry a knife because criminals don't obey laws.
And so your crime rate will totally explode. And when they catch a citizen with a knife to defend themselves, they'll throw the book at you. But in England, they've already been caught, and secret memos have come out on that, to leave illegal aliens alone, to let them break the law. When they stab somebody, they'll let them go in a few weeks. Because they're there to menace you into submission. Problem, reaction, solution.
That's right.
Paul, I want a big chemtrail report. I mean, we've got all this high-altitude aerosol spraying. All these universities admit they're doing it. They admit they're manipulating it. And it's exactly what all the chemtrail researchers like Carnicom and others said when they did tests. It's not like we just guessed this and then it came true. We documented this. I think it'd be a big story, an important story, with a headline like Chemtrail Mystery Solved. I think it'd be a supernova story, post a bunch of videos. I'd like to see that from you tomorrow, Paul.
Yeah, I actually did a similar one back in April.
No, I know. I mean, that's why I said do the story, because you just mentioned it. But let's give it one where we really explain. You kind of, you know, just halfway covered it. I think another big report would be great. But, Paul, thanks for spending time with us.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
You bet. Final segment, ladies and gentlemen, two sponsors I want to tell you about. Well, one of them is InfoWars.com video and bookstore online, where you get films like Fabled Enemies just out. You can order it now shipping, or watch it online. Super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. Burn disc of it, get it out to people. There's also eFoods Direct. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful storable foods company who I've been buying food from for about 7-8 years. Lasts more than 10 years in controlled climate, 10 years in your garage. Call, get a free brochure. There is so much more. 1-800-409-5633. 1-800-409-5633. Regardless, with talk of war, famine, police state, depression, I hope none of it happens. But if there's a 10% chance of it happening, which there definitely is, why not have high-quality storable foods that are freeze-dried and dehydrated, store in very small areas? 1-800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Giant banners at the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I really hope that you will take action on that. Also, when you're on InfoWars.com, be sure and check out the banners to the great folks at New Vitality. Hundreds of great, well-documented herbal remedies and vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and aloes, colon cleanse, very, you know, known for hundreds of years to clean out your guts, detoxify. They've got things like Super Beta Prostate, just a great line of products. Give them a call, 1-800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056. Or you can also go to their website, newvitality.com. If you forget that website, simply go to InfoWars.com. Now, everything's overkill here. And I told Aaron I wanted some of the quotes, and so he went out and got them. And now he has like 50 pages in his hands. We have about 3 minutes left here, Aaron. So if you want to read a few globalist quotes about eugenics, go ahead.
All right, I'll start with Margaret Sanger. The most merciful thing a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. That is reprinted in Woman and the New Race. Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race. That's Margaret Sanger in Women, Morality, and Birth Control. Eugenic sterilization is an urgent need. We must prevent multiplication of this bad stock. Margaret Sanger, April 1933, Birth Control Review. Eugenics is the most adequate and thorough avenue to the solution of racial, political, and social problems. Margaret Sanger, The Eugenic Value of Birth Control Propaganda. The campaign for birth control is not merely of eugenic value, but is practically identical with the final aims of eugenics. Margaret Sanger, The Eugenic Value of Birth Control Propaganda. The marriage bed is the most degenerative influence in the social order. Margaret Sanger, The Woman Rebel.
Yeah, so you wonder why all these big Rockefeller-funded people, and she was, were out, get rid of the family, get rid of this and that. It's not to empower women, it's to enslave you. And in all their internal documents, which are now published, these are university documents, it's about getting us all to be slaves. This is so cold-blooded. Meanwhile, you roll your sleeve up and trust what they shoot you full of? Go ahead.
Give dysgenic groups, people with bad genes, in our population their choice of segregation or compulsory sterilization, April 1932. And then here's a quote about Margaret Sanger. As we celebrate the 100th birthday of Margaret Sanger, our outrageous and our courageous leader, we will probably find a number of areas in which we may find more about Margaret Sanger than we thought we wanted to know. Faye Waddleton, past president of Planned Parenthood.
All right, stop. I know you've got hundreds of pages there. Tomorrow, sometime, maybe at the first of the show, 20 minutes with you, Aaron, to read more of these sickening eugenics quotes. Okay? Again, your liberal leaders want one thing, to kill you blacks and Hispanics. Your Republican leaders are there to neutralize whites. Wake up to the New World Order. I had a bunch of guests on, a ton of calls. I covered key info in the first hour. Key information on the eugenics program in the first hour today. Retransmission starts now. One place, InfoWars.com audio streams. Everybody else, God bless you.